Welcome to the Black Sparrow Media Internet Broadcast Network.
Welcome to the South Cars Conference number 96140. Connection established.
No animals were harmed in the making of this podcast.
Good evening, everyone. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and this is South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the South Cars organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This SCAR server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System, provided by the one and only KB8 Zulu Golf Lima, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off the system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they have checked in. Information regarding our HF operation may be found at www.southcars.com and for our digital operation at www.voip.southcars.com. Your net control for this session actually is probably Gordon, KY6B, along with Mike, Kilo Bravo 8 Zulu Golf Lima, but my name is Kathy. My call sign is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. I'm located in the city of Vero Beach, Florida, where we currently have a temperature of 81 degrees, high today of about 83. It's been a beautiful day. Tonight it'll be a low maybe of about 73. So prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled. If so, please come aboard. Hearing no emergency traffic, and that's always a great thing. Do we have anyone celebrating their birthday this week? Maybe last week, or maybe this upcoming week that would like to come aboard? So at this time, we're looking for some of those birthday stations. Wow, no birthday stations either. You know, we always say none of us are getting any older, but I can't remember the last time I checked in a birthday station. But everyone, this is the TIN Open Forum. This is the Thursday Informational Net. It's called TIN for short. This net is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur-related subjects and or other areas of general interest to those participating. All are encouraged to participate and ask questions of our guest speaker or speakers. You know, our topic tonight is very, very special, one that I know very little about, so I'm really looking forward to it. It's all you wanted to know about All-Star and D-Star. I want to advise everyone that this session is being recorded for future presentation on our website as a podcast, and if you've been part of this session tonight, you will be part of that recording. I'm not going to go over any announcements tonight because I know we have quite a program ahead of us. I want to thank you, KB8 Zulu Golf Lima. I want to thank you, Gordon, and I want to thank everyone that's listening because this is a very interesting program. But at this point, I'm going to throw it over to, I guess you'd call him our moderator for this evening, KY6B, to begin the program this evening. And thanks for allowing me to introduce the program. KY6B, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Ms. Sunshine. And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and all those ships out at sea. Gordon here, KY6V, and as Kathy has mentioned, tonight's program will be a full discussion on All-Star and D-Star. I know for a fact that there's a lot of interest out there, and I hope each and every one of you will jump in and ask the questions that you feel appropriate as the time is appropriate. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I am proud to introduce you to Mike, KBHZGL. Mike, this evening, will be taking the stand as our resident expert in the area of digital technology. And tonight's discussion will be covering, as mentioned, the amateur radio modes known as All-Star and D-Star. Mike holds a master's degree in IT management from Michigan State University. He is a part owner in a commercial digital service company, and further has been a member of Southcar's VOIP from its start in the year of 2007. Mike is the man who supplies the service and equipment used here on Southcar's, keeps it running, keeps it current, and keeps its ability to be there when the availability is needed. And I might add that availability is 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. Before we start the program this evening, I would like Mike to say hello to each of you, give you a warm welcome, and ask each of you not to be shy tonight. We are all here to learn and to enjoy. Mike, if you would be so kind, let's hear from you, sir, KB8ZGL from KY6V and Southcars.
Well, good evening, Gordon and Kathy. Always a pleasure to hear your lovely voice up here in Michigan. You know, bring a little of that sunshine up here to Michigan today. We're cold, rainy. The last of the ice just melted off the lake up here, so good to hear both of you. Good evening, everyone on Southcars in the Net from KB8ZGL. Like I said, I'm up here in Michigan, and thank you, Gordon, very much for rolling out the red carpet tonight. I appreciate very much the extension of the invite to speak tonight on TIN. For those of you that don't know me and haven't run across me over the years, probably my most passionate portion of the amateur radio hobby is technologies that are based around voice over IP and voice over IP technologies. And two of the most passionate areas for me are what we're going to discuss tonight. And I apologize, by no means am I an expert. I'm not a computer programmer, and I honestly probably dragged my feet a little longer than most of you would like on stepping up to the plate this evening. But we're here now. I think I'm going to give you a little bit more information on the format, and I'm going to try and do some high-level information, and then we'll kind of take it from there. So, again, I just want to say thank you to Southcars for hosting us tonight. And I do hope you all ask me a lot of questions. It'll make our time go a lot smoother from my standpoint. The more questions, I have a lot of answers, but I don't always know the right questions that are being asked. And thank you also for being on the Great Lakes Reflector System. It's a lot of fun to see technology that I put a lot of heart and soul into to being used by such a successful organization. With that, I will pass it back to Gordon and see how we want to take it from there. Again, thank you and good evening. KY6V from KB8ZGL.
Well, thank you very much, Mike. Just a total honor to have you here with us this evening, number one. And I guess when time permits, we should allow you to elaborate a little bit more on the Great Lakes repeater system and the wonderful multifaceted service and server that you produce up there. Guys and gals, the way we're going to start this this evening is we have a number of questions to ask of Mike. A question will be asked of Mike. He'll elaborate on his answer to that. And at that point, we're going to open up the net for anybody that's in the audience that would like to respond to the question that was just covered and enter any other questions that are on your mind, some of which may be covered further in the program. But we're going to be bebopping back and forth in that manner. We're sort of separating. We're going to discuss All-Star first, and then we'll get into D-Star. And in the mode of being simplistic here, Mike, I guess the first appropriate question to you, sir, is what is All-Star? And is it properly spelled capital A-L-L-S-T-A-R? Go ahead, Mike, KY6V, over.
Well, thanks, Gordon, again, and I do believe that is the correct spelling. I knew you were going to ask a tough question right off the bat. So from KB8ZGL, I'll stake my ground that the correct spelling is capital A as in Alpha, Lima, Lima, Sierra, Tango, Alpha, Romeo, All-Star. And that is a great question. All-Star, very often when I talk to people about voice over IP technologies and are very familiar with Echolink, IRLP, they've even probably heard about D-Star due to the commercialization and the ICOM information that's out there about D-Star. I've certainly heard it. All-Star is probably one of the newest technology players to the game. It is probably one of the least talked about and certainly one of, in my opinion, the most interesting. What it publicly is defined as, or as the Internet would define it, it is a network of publicly accessible, licensed required, so they do check and verify that you are an amateur radio operator. You cannot get on without an FCC-issued amateur radio license, which is good for us as hams. It is basically a network of repeaters and remote base stations, and we'll talk a little bit more about the remote base station further down in the program because I think that's a very interesting piece of All-Star that differs from the other technologies we're going to talk about. It is a technology that utilizes voice over IP or voice over Internet protocol, meaning it does tie to the Internet. It is based off of an open source platform known in the computer industry as Asterisk. And many people are going to say, well, what is Asterisk? And there's a lot of names that Asterisk goes by on the commercial side of things. Asterisk is a lot of times referred to as Free Switch, Free PBX. It can be referred to as Supercell. It can be referred to as the Linux-based phone delivery system or a Linux PBX. At the end of the day, basically just think of All-Star. I'm going to take a quick break here. I'm going to time this out. Sorry about that. My timeout timer is pretty short. But basically think of All-Star as an open-based telephone platform that with the help of a very well-known in the Asterisk and Linux community gentleman out of California named Jim Dixon, whose call sign is WB6NIL, Whiskey Bravo 6, November India Lima, and several others, basically wrote a bunch of drivers and plugins for this open source phone system to be able to be utilized by radio communications and client connections for the amateur radio community. And those guys don't get enough credit. I'll be honest to say that up front. They put hours and pour their soul into building out on top of this open source platform and writing all of the code to do so. So if you run across them, be sure to thank them. With that, that's the general introduction on All-Star. With that, I'll pass it back to Gordon. KY6V, KB8ZGL.
Hey, thanks for that, Mike. I see that my audio was running a little hot. I've tried to back it off here a little bit. It still seems like it's up. Well, maybe I can move the boom here just a little bit. A little hotter than I would like. But it looks better. I don't know why. It was right up at 100% amplitude gain. Well, I'm going to open it up here for any questions on that intro on All-Star. And then I have a question about PBX. You know, at one time in my younger life, I had turns of being a PBX operator. You know, plug the cord into the hole and throw the switch so the people could talk. Do we have any questions of Mike on this opening on All-Star, please? If so, I'd like to hear your suffix only. Call now and we'll get you all in order. KY6V for South Cars.
MO.
Now that would be Mr. Syracuse. Hi, Gary. Stand by. Anybody else? All right, you're standing alone. Go ahead, Gary. I'll bet you were a PBX operator one time with all your talents. Over.
Hey there, Gordon. How are you? Great to hear you tonight. And it's funny. I came very close to being a PBX operator. And that's one of the things I was just going to make a comment on, and then I had a question, too. I used, I didn't use it, but I was... in a support capacity for a VoIP telephone company. We did VoIP telephony, and the platform that was used in that network was Asterisk. So I've heard the name before, and I'm familiar a little bit with the protocol. Of course, the guys that really made it happen were the network engineers that we had. But certainly familiar with it, and I know you can do an awful lot with it. So it's pretty impressive stuff. But I had a question, and this question may be answered further on down the line. But this is probably the first thing that I had pop into my mind when we were when I first heard that we were going to be doing this net tonight, or when this net was going to be happening tonight, was D-Star and All-Star. I've seen demos of it. I saw a demo of it of D-Star in Dayton, but I'm not really sure what the heck you can do with it. Maybe if Mike could answer that question, what are some of the applications that you can do with D-Star and All-Star? And if that's coming up later in the program, too, just forget about this, and we'll get to it in due time. But that was my question, so we'll turn it back to the net. This is KC2RMO.
Hey, great question. Thank you, Gary. Yeah, some of that's going to be covered downstream, but Mike may like to touch on it right now. Any comments on that, Mike, please? Over.
Thanks, Gordon. KBAZGL, and hi, Gary. Nice to meet you. Wonderful audio, sir. Just wanted to say that a minute. But I guess a couple of comments off of what you both said. For those of you that aren't familiar with the term we're kicking around, PBX, that stands for Private Branch Exchange. What a PBX basically is typically in a commercial environment or in an office setting. It's what runs all the phones on the end user's desks or on your desk. So when you answer a call and you have an extension versus just a phone that rings to your home on a number, that typically runs through some form of a phone system. Before PBX was Centrix, and now we really focus on trying to open up and open sourcing that PBX, that final piece that handles all your call routing, all your IVR or internal voice recordings, plays your welcome messages, put callers in queues. That's what a PBX does. So when we're kicking around that term of why people were PBX operators or had to do a lot of things with PBXs, it was the big way of phone systems and still is in many cases. So I definitely wanted to explain a little bit on that, Gordon and Gary. And, I think, Gary, if you give me just a little bit more here, I promise I'll get some of the bases out and some of the background on the systems, and then I'll give you all the fun stuff if I can, which is where I'm very passionate as part of the program. I've got sections set up that'll be all the neat stuff you can do with the two technologies and what we're going to do and what you can do, and we'll certainly get to that. Gordon, back to you, KY6V, KBAZGL.
Great. Thanks, Mike. Do we have anybody else with anything pertinent to this first question before we move on, please? KY6V.
BE3MEW.
And that would be Mr. Peterborough, Canada. Hello, Bill. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, we're getting ready for some nasty weather up here. Anyway, could I ask another question, please? Sort of get it on the list based on a discussion that a bunch of us hams had today over our wonderful dinner we had together at the Legion today. It was beef, liver, and onion day at the Legion, and all we'll hold, there must have been 12 of us ham radio operators there, and we had a discussion. So I have a question that we came up with regarding the current state of D-Star, the future of D-Star, and the new mode that's being talked up here in Canada called DMR. In fact, there's going to be a discussion on DMR tonight in Oshawa, put on by the Oshawa Club and a so-called expert there and a couple of representatives. So I was just wondering if the gentleman would have any insight into the future of D-Star versus DMR and how that would all going to fit in with All-Star. Go ahead.
Good question, Bill. Thank you. Some of this probably would be covered further into the program, but I think that Mike can probably highlight your question pretty well right now. Mike, would you go ahead, sir?
Yes, sir, I can. Thank you for the question, William. I'll take a quick brief minute and a quick highlight the different technologies probably would be a good place here really quick to start. We kind of know IRLP and Echolink, two very much analog forms of communication. All-Star is certainly a bit of a hybrid. All-Star will support both digital communications, which what I would cover as DMR. Many of you will know it as Moto Turbo, or as a Vertex standard known as DMR Vertex. Many of you are familiar with that new stuff. There's also the new Yaesu protocol that has come out that was launched last year at Dayton Hamvention. That is slightly different. It is a form, but is not compatible with DMR. We've also got D-Star, which is on the digital side. And certainly there are ties between the two, which is where All-Star very much has an interesting play. But certainly D-Star and DMR are the digital technologies. I can certainly, I think, William, if you can stay the program, I would love to discuss the differences of DMR and D-Star at the end, but I'd like to kind of take it All-Star, then D-Star, and then I'll certainly discuss what I know and what we've done with DMR and how I think that fits into the picture, if that'd be okay. If you're not going to be able to stay around until the end of the program, we can certainly do it now, Gordon. KY6V, KB8ZGL.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Bill, your preference, sir, over.
No, I'll definitely be here. And the reason that question came up is because not only do we have a D-Star repeater here in Peterborough, and there's only two of us in this whole town that have D-Star capability and use it, but a DMR repeater is being installed at the moment, and there's a couple of people interested in that as well. So that's the reason the question came up.
No, that's a good question, too. All right. Thanks, Bill. We're going to roll it on, guys. If you have any more questions about this opening situation that we discussed on All-Star, feel free to jump in, even though we're discussing another one. The next question that I would have of you, Mike, is where do we as hams find more information about All-Star? So we can start cranking, I guess. Mike, over.
Well, that's an excellent question, probably one of the most important, where you have to plan ahead a little, KB8ZGL for identification. But certainly the best website out there, which is where All-Star is all based around for everybody to go ahead and take note of, and I will also put it in the text box down here, is www.allstarlink.org, allstarlink.org. So Alpha Lima Lima, Sierra Tango Alpha Romeo, Lima India November Kilo, .OscarRomeoGolf. And one thing I would encourage everyone to do, if you're new to All-Star, if you're new to Voice over IP in general, if you're new to South Cars, if you're new to anything really, and is take a moment, because I do believe All-Star is coming to a more general ham population, and we're going to see it in more applications. We're going to see more availability of it. It's not going to be so much of a experimenter's portion of the hobby. It's really growing and taking off. The growth rate that we've seen in the documentation compared to the days of IRLP and Echolink and when they started has been phenomenal. The uptake's been incredible. So by all means, take some time, and Gordon, I'm going to cover another one here too probably, but go to allstarlink.org and click on the registration button, which is in the lower left-hand corner of the web page. If you want the direct link, it's allstarlink.org/portal/register.php. Let me take a quick break. And if you go there, they will get some information. You need to take and fill out some information, much like if you registered for Echolink your first time, a copy of your license or proof that you're registered. They do at least accept, I believe, last time I registered somebody, a copy from the online FCC database from the ULS system. And so, but by all means, take your time to go to allstarlink.org and get registered. Be prepared, because we've been talking about doing some experimental nets over on All-Star. There's a lot going on All-Star today. There's a lot you can try out and play with before we fully integrate it here with South Cars, which we'll talk about in a minute. And that would be, Gordon, where you find more info, is allstarlink.org. Or in general, if you Google All-Star, that's going to be obviously a problem. So if you're going to Google for it and you want information, Google All-Star Plus VoIP. All-Star Plus VoIP or All-Star Space VoIP as the plus is automatically included. And then you'll find the right information. But by all means, allstarlink.org is the best location, Gordon. Back to you, KY6VKB8ZGL.
Very good. Thank you, Mike. KY6V for South Cars. This is a TIN episode for the month, and we are talking about All-Star and D-Star. More All-Star at the moment, but we'll be getting into D-Star. www.allstar.org. Any questions of Mike on this last parley, please? Over. Okay. I think that was pretty straightforward. How does the assembly that's listening to us tonight actually sign up for the All-Star account? Now, you know, Mike, I did this, I'm not really sure, probably 3 years ago. And I've got a low series 2000 number. I think it's something like 2032, but can you amplify on the allstar.org portal, you know, register PHP and all that nonsense? Over.
Yeah, I sure can, Gordon. No problem. I've got it up here kind of on my other computer screen next to me, so I could just maybe tell you a little bit of the information very quickly. But if you go to allstarlink.org, the direct link is /portal/register.php or allstarlink.org, and just click on register. It's kind of hiding a little bit in the lower left-hand screen if you have a smaller monitor. When you get to that link, basically, they ask for some basic information, first name, last name, address, city, state, zip code and country, your email address, and make sure you use an email address that is valid, that you can receive email at. It says that to use a working email address there, but make sure you do, because they will use email to verify you. Your call sign, and let me expound on, when you enter your call sign, a lot of people miss the first time. It says there, must all be in uppercase. That is not a possibility to not do it that way. Make sure you do it in all uppercase, basically, and set your password, which it will ask you to confirm. There's a submit button at the bottom of the form, and at that point, they will walk you hand by hand through a couple more steps. Do please realize it takes about 24 to 48 hours to get an All-Star number assigned to your client, which is why I ask everybody and plead with everybody, please go get signed up ahead of time, because when we decide we're going to have an All-Star net or All-Star is ready to be played with more for the South Cars members specifically, you want to be registered, because otherwise it's going to be too, if the announcement doesn't come or you don't see it in time, it's going to be too late. So allow yourself 24 to 48 hours for them to verify everybody. A weekend usually is a good time because it's all volunteers doing the registration. So hope that helps, Gordon. KY6VKBAZGL.
Yeah, it sure does. And guys and gals, I'll say that All-Star is coming to South Cars. We'll be covering that a little later in the program. So if you're interested, now is the time to start thinking about it. Any questions on this, please? KY6V, over.
Hey, my jolly Bobo, with some thoughts about it.
Hello there, George. Good evening to you, sir. Please go right ahead. I know that you're already enrolled with and registered with All-Star. Go ahead, George.
Yes, I am there, Gordon. I did it a couple years back there. And, you know, MEW, Bill made a statement about the All-Star knows where he is. You know, maybe it's time we all get together and hook that node up to All-Star, to Scars, and another way to play. So, you know, I see some good things also happening there. KW4, Lima, Charlie Bravo.
Well, it's been worked on, George. And I don't think it's going to be too far over the horizon before it happens. I'll let Mike comment on that. I think he was going to touch on it here later in the program, but Mike is working very diligently in the background to get All-Star ready for South Cars. There are some minor bugs at the moment to meld it to the SCARS server. But they're being attacked one at a time. Mike, any comments on that, sir? Over.
Sure, you bet. Good evening, George. Nice to have you on the program tonight as well. Let's do a little bit of the sizzle, Gordon, if you will. And certainly, the goal is to bring All-Star to South Cars as a tie-in right here alongside of Echolink and IRLP. With any good luck, let's say, I'm hoping by the end of May. That's the deadline I've written on my whiteboard. I want to thank, there's some people listening tonight, like KBAJXX, TJ from Anchorage, and I'm sure there's a few others of you that are helping me with the painful troubleshooting process on the back end. You know, we're taking two and three different technologies that were not designed to work together and designing them to work together. So it's a bit of putting a round peg in a square hole, and certainly it is not without its bugs and not for the faint of heart. But things have been good, and luckily, thanks to the guys that have been so helpful at the Alaska conference that is also hosted on the Great Lakes Reflector, they've been running it successfully, I want to say, going on probably 6-7 months. The Society of Broadcast Engineers for the Hams and Broadcast, the SBE conference on Echolink, and also on the Great Lakes Reflector, they've been successfully running it. And so there are a couple of things specific to South Cars and how we administer South Cars that make our implementation here a little more difficult. With all that said, my goal is the end of May or early May, if I can, and a little more testing and a couple more pieces. And by all means, we will plug it in here so that you can connect to this wonderful group on all the nets and any time to socialize on All-Star as well as Echolink and IRLP. So it's not too far away, in my opinion. Even though we've been working on it for a good couple of years, we're nearing the end and the finish line of bringing it truthfully online here. Hopefully that answers your question, George, and I'll let Gordon pick it up from there. And KY6V, KBAZGL.
Okay. Thank you, Mike. Yeah, part and parcel of some of these idiosyncrasies that Mike is fighting is the way that we conduct our SCARS server, how we control our net operations off the Echolink program, and trying to mesh what is available with All-Star and have it register properly on an Echolink screen is some of the things that are being faced. But it's all doable, and it's going to happen. I see in the text box that XCX, Woody in Mount Dora, said hello to me. Woody, would you like to come in and mention anything for the good of the order on the program that we're running tonight? And good evening, sir. Over. Well, I don't hear Woody at the moment. Just scan the user list, and I think he's dropped off, so I hope he'll come back. Anybody else before we move on, please? KY6V, over. All right, the next question in the pool here, Mr. Professor. That's Michelson. What software does All-Star use, and what equipment is required? Now, I'll bet you that's a mouthful. Over.
Yeah, Roger Gordon, KV8ZGL. That's certainly, I think, when I look at All-Star and how the learning curve went and the fear that I see of when I discuss All-Star amongst groups and with people is it's not quite as intuitive off the bat to get it started in as Echolink and IRLP are, but that certainly has gotten better. And one thing that's really good to remember is All-Star is open source technology. And so a lot of different plugins and different pieces exist. There's a lot of things that can be plugged into this system. Whether they all fit every user doesn't always make sense, but first off, the easy answer is that there is software available that can be run on Mac, Windows, and Linux. There's ways to connect repeaters. There's a number of ways to connect repeaters using things such as a USB sound card, something called a URI-X, and I'll go through each of these a moment, BeagleBoard, RTCM, Micronodes, And, you know, there, on top of that, though, in a second we're going to talk about a client, a software-based client that's very similar to Echolink. So let me focus on the hardware for just a moment, and then we'll move forward from there. Let me take a brief break, and then we'll explain the different pieces of hardware I just rambled through. Okay, so on the hardware side of things, everybody on South Cars, the biggest thing we look at is how do we connect the radio pieces to this now very much internet-based system and internet-based telephony system. And there's a number of ways. The simplest and original design was something that's called a USB sound fob. And right away people on the internet, what's a sound fob? Why? I don't even know what that's going to do. I don't know how to get one. I see these complicated schematics on how to make one, and let me to be the first to tell you, and I've told everybody on South Cars that's heard me before, I'm not a solderer. I can't solder to save my life, maybe to save my life. But anyways, so USB was kind of the original way, and basically a USB sound fob is a USB sound card. Basically, it's got a microphone in, and it's got an audio out, much like an onboard sound card or an add-in sound card you would have in your computer, and it's based around USB, and those can be modified and tied into a repeater. By far, that's the most cost-efficient way to get into All-Star at a hardware-based level. And then there's a commercial company called DMK Engineering, and you can look them up online. It's Delta Mike Kilo Engineering. They make a product called the URI-X, Uniform Romeo India-X-Ray. And the URIX is a commercially built, basically all-star interface for tying in radios, whether that be a repeater controller or a simple simplex link or a remote base, which we're going to talk about in a little bit. The URIX is designed with all the cabling and pinouts already done for you to be able to connect into hardware. On top of that, there's a brand new, very exciting piece of technology that's probably one of the most fascinating pieces I've played with, and that's called a BeagleBoard. Many of you, if you're home computer developers, you know the Raspberry Pi, which we'll talk about in a little bit. You know the BeagleBoard, which is basically a computer that, a very small computer about the size of an Altoids can that you can add daughter boards to. BeagleBoard is very interesting from an All-Star standpoint because it has two radio ports on it. It has two ways of being connected into a radio or two radios or two ports on a repeater controller. There's also a new piece of technology, and I'll spend a minute on this one, a little bit longer minute, because I saw somebody asked, I think TJ asked a question in the text box about it, and that's the RTCM. Romeo Tango Charlie Mike, RTCM. And an RTCM is a commercially produced box made by a company known as Micronode. And many of you may know Micronode. They're the company that produced the all-in-one IRLP boxes, the all-in-one Echolink boxes that have radios inside of them and all the software pre-done, and it's basically plug and play and go. So they've released a product called an RTCM, which is basically just that for All-Star. It already has all of the smarts in it. Out of the box, it can be configured as an All-Star node. It has basically a radio port that has your traditional signaling on it, COS, audio in, audio out, and PTT. What's really unique about the RTCM is that they have made for the first time an IP voting system. And I won't go too in-depth on this, but for those of us that have done repeater systems and are into voting and voters, and basically for those of you that don't know what voting is the ability to listen to multiple receivers on the same frequency and choose the receiver that hears the end user the strongest. What's really neat about that is now that for the first time with RTCMs, we can use a bunch of them at remote sites that have internet, and we can vote them. Meaning we can choose the RTCM that hears the best audio signal with the least amount of static on an analog signal, and then pass that directly into All-Star and do it over IP protocol. And it's one of the very first systems that doesn't require a RF backbone for interlinking or for simulcast. And just to finish up, the one thing in the RTCM, we can go on and on. There's a lot of great things about the RTCM. The nice thing is it can be started in a simplistic simple node, ready to go out of the box, literally online and connected to a repeater controller or a radio in under an hour for most people, in my opinion. Sometimes there's some router tweaking and other things that makes it a little longer than that, but we're certainly here to help you. And Micronode does a good job of, for the most part, of supporting the products. So if you're not a build-it-yourself, not so much into the open source, Linux scares you, but you really want a hardware-based system, the BeagleBoard, the RTCM, and the URI all self-configure themselves out of a portal that's at allstarlink.org. So to answer the question specifically, there is software available, and there's also hardware available, all very well packaged and available very reasonably to the end users. I'm sure there's going to be some questions on this one, Gordon, so we'll pause there. KY6V, KB8ZGL.
Extremely interesting, sir. KY6V here for Southcars. I made two specific notes. One, you've given me the brainchild of maybe having a Southcars net on the proper way of soldering, Mike. How not to burn your fingers. How not to put a hole in your PC board, etc., etc. And then the other note I made is the proper feeding of your beagle. Any questions out there of Mike on what he has just put forth, please? KY6V for Southcars. Over.
Charlie Bravo.
Mr. George, the mayor of Orange City. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you kindly, Mr. Six Vector there. Mike, if you would you kind of give us a price range, from least to most there? Seems like a whole lot of ways to go here. I myself, especially where I'm at, like to consider myself a gateway, so to speak. I like to set it up that way to establish a means of communications for those that may be traveling in the area and would like to incorporate the repeaters with this technology. So, don't ask nobody for nothing, but, would like to get an idea of what we might be jumping into there. So just to make things available to those around, what an idea of, I like this last one, if I can plug it in, man, that's the way I want to go. I can solder in, but I'll let somebody else do it if they want to. KW4 Lima, Charlie Bravo.
Okay, you want to pick that one up, Mike?
Yes, George, that's a wonderful question, and let me start by saying I don't want to scare anybody away. So there is a free way that we're going to discuss in just a moment to get involved with All-Star today through the portal, which we're going to discuss. And the software being open to run All-Star is all free. And that's very important. There is no commercialized nature around All-Star specifically. And it's very much built into this open platform and home experiment or end user experiment, home brewing, whatever you want to call it. So to answer your question though, George, basically at the low end, if you want to get in and you're a do-it-yourself type of person and you don't mind soldering as much, kind of like not me, but the USB sound card and the URI-X are both the most reasonable ways to get in. You need a computer in that model. The computer needs to run a software called ACID, A-C-I-D, which is available at allstarlink.org. It's basically a pre-canned Linux distribution that has all of the underpinning software of Asterisk built in it, built on the appropriate versions, and all controlled out of the portal through a web GUI, so that very little knowledge of Linux is even needed. The ability to type is about all you need in that form. So in that form, George, and everyone else, you need a computer, and the cost of a computer, and it doesn't have to be a super powerful computer. It will run on a fairly old we've run them on plenty of Pentium 1s, so you don't need a supercomputer. USB sound fob would run you about, you can buy them on eBay usually for like under $5 American. But then you've got to modify them. If you buy the URIX, you're looking more in, I believe, currently the amateur price is around $190. Then it's all pre-made, pre-cabled, and you plug it into a USB port and go. The Beagle board, all said and done, I want to say is right in the $200 range. That one fluctuates a little bit, but I believe right around $200 range for the dual port model. The RTCM, I just looked up here on my other computer. The current amateur price on the RTCM, which is the pre-canned, all ready to go, plug in the wires and power and program it, is currently selling to amateur operators for $269 American. And so there's a pretty good range in there, George. Somebody just told me the URI is on there is $69 right now. So that's even better. So you've got a wide range of options available, George, for the hardware side, depending on how much do-it-yourself you want to do, sir. I will pass it back to Gordon and see if there's any more questions about that, and we'll go from there, George. So I hope that answers your question. KY6V, KB8ZGL.
Okay. Thanks, Mike, and good evening, RXA. Long time, sir. Jump in when you're ready. George, did that somewhat answer your question, sir? Over.
Yeah, buddy. That's about as good as Cuban bread and coffee there. So gives you a whole lot of ways to go and appreciate that, Mike. Very interesting.
All right, I don't have a full user list here up in front of me, so I may be missing some of those that are connected. But TJ, JXX up there in Anchorage, Alaska, are you still with us, sir, and do you have any comments at this point? Over. Okay, I'm not seeing him on my user list, but I'm not expanded in full mode. All right, let's keep going here. Now, the next question that we have for you, Professor Mike, is All-Star ham radio? Boy, I'm asking this with tongue-in-cheek. You know, I came out with out of a very intense HF South Cars environment, and selling Echolink and VOIP was like selling a refrigerator to an Alaskan. Any comments on that, Mike? KY6V, over.
Yeah, KY6V, KB8ZGL. And thank you, Gordon, for that question. That's probably one of the toughest things that I have to answer when I'm out talking to groups and different people about voice over IP and tying the internet to radio and why do we want to do that. And I certainly, you know, let me be the first to say I love HF as much as the next guy. I spend as much time there lately as I have on voice over IP technologies. And so I certainly understand and have heard about every argument from both sides. So let me say this at the end of the day, in my opinion. For one, I think that using voice over IP technologies tied with radio and RF and reaching out brings not only back generations of amateur radio operators that have lost the ability to have antennas placed at their residence or living facilities. I certainly think that it's also reaching out to a new generation of radio operators or potential radio operators that are coming up through the internet world and this open phone service and the programming of these systems and voice over IP on the phone systems. You know, just voice over IP in general, the whole entire city of Amsterdam is run on asterisk. And people wouldn't tell you that, but it's incredible. I mean, thousands and thousands of phones. So one of the biggest things I want to say is All-Star is very much an RF-based, planned around RF design. Think of it a lot like IRLP. They're really after tying it into remote bases, repeater connectivity, and end users, and then also providing that client for those that don't have the ability to reach an All-Star node or the ability to get the kind of antenna systems to reach an All-Star node. So All-Star certainly, in my opinion, is less of they do not push the client as heavily as they push the RF, but they do not require you to be on RF, which would be the kind of the difference between EchoLink and IRLP. EchoLink very client-based with an RF component, IRLP very RF-based with a with no client component. I would say All-Star kind of fits in the middle, but certainly if you ask me, I would say it's ham radio, and I would say it's extending the hobby, Gordon. KY6V, KB8ZGO.
Yeah, very good, Mike. I would add at this point, everything that comes down the pike that's new is challenged. We lead off our website at www.voip.southcars.com with an article that was written by Paul Schwann. Paul is N4FDD in Fort Myers. He's a school teacher down there. And just put a grand epistle to the Ephesians in print that we have published on our website as to the considerations of moving on as technology moves on. And yes, it is still amateur radio. So with that, any comments from the audience at this point for Mike or anybody? KY6V, please call now.
RMO with my 50 cents worth.
Oh my goodness gracious, just yesterday it was 2 cents. Go ahead, Gary, over.
Well, you know how inflation works, right? Everything that's been said here in regard to is it ham radio is just so right on. I'm very much an HF person. I will always be an HF person. I cannot tell you how excited I was when I got my general ticket and I was actually able to do what I've been dreaming about doing, what I had been dreaming about doing for so many years, and that was doing HF work. But as the article that Gordon was talking about so beautifully addresses, this is part of our charge as ham radio operators. This is a new aspect, a new piece of technology that we need to embrace. And you don't have to embrace it 100% if you don't want to, but it's there, and you owe it to yourself to check out. It enhances, as Mike was saying, it broadens the base. It gives the community more flexibility. It is just one more dimension, that we can access and master and do what we do with it. So whenever you hear that argument, I think it's good to point out that we didn't get to where we are today by thinking like that. And that's just some food for thought, and we'll turn it back to the net. This is KC2RMO.
Eloquent comments, Gary, as usual. Thank you, sir. We'll see if Mike wants to expound on that in any further detail. I've seen your texts, Mike, and I agree. I think we should probably, we're now 56 minutes into the hour, so we should probably start fading away from All-Star and get into D-Star in some detail, unless there's any pertinent questions. Mike, go ahead, sir.
Well, very good, Gordon, and Gary, I agree, well said. Thank you, sir, for that. I definitely want to give an equal amount of time to D-Star because it's also equally fun. I think, it's easy. I want to give some time for fun and sizzle and tell you about some of the neat projects that are out there at the end. But so I agree, Gordon. I think we should jump a little bit further into D-Star. But let me give you two final pieces on All-Star to take away. And in my opinion, these are the two biggest takeaways from tonight if you take away nothing else. So let me pause for a moment of emphasis, and then I will... I'll give you the two information pieces here. In my opinion, the two most important pieces that we need to take away from tonight is, one, get signed up in the portal, because there's a Java-based client in the portal. that when you're logged in, you can connect right from your web browser to any All-Star node. And you can get involved in All-Star as simply as just using your browser and registering. If you prefer to use a client, Google IAX RPT, India Alpha X-Ray Romeo Papa Tango, IAX RPT. That is a client-based software. It's a little challenging, but the setup instructions are on there. And as always, if you have any questions, my email address is good. It's my call sign, KB8ZGL, at KB8ZGL.net. And the very most important piece for tonight, SouthCar's All-Star number, node number, is assigned. And so everybody, pens and papers, number 27404. 27404. The numbers are like extensions, so they're kind of assigned in a random order. What you will find is that all of the Great Lakes reflectors, South or All-Star nodes or hubs, are 2740X. So, for example, Alaska is 27408. And South Cars is 27404. So some of us will hang out there later tonight, probably. Other times I've been on there and around there. But if you want to start playing, please stop by South Cars on 27404. And with that, Gordon, I'll let you see if there's any final questions on All-Star before we move into some of the fun of D-Star and then on to some of the neat stuff at the end of what we're doing with both of the technologies and how it affects South Cars. KY6V, KB8ZGL.
Good. Thanks, Mike. Question, sir. When you come in as a browser and connect to All-Star, am I correct in saying that you have to gain permission from the host before you're included on that particular node number? Over.
That is not correct unless it's set up that way, Gordon. From the portal, let me rephrase that. The person who sets up their nodes have to allow portal access. Some people do not like the client list or the clients to be able to access them. They want to stick all to RF. So if they can determine at the time of the installation of their node or their system whether to allow the client from the website to be able to access them or not, it is my experience that around 75% are configuring allowing that client to access them. And certainly South Cars and everything on the Great Lakes reflectors and almost all of the KB8ZGL and different organizations that I support certainly are open for you to test and play with from the web client. But you are correct. Some people deny it. It is a choice when they initially set up their node, sir. Back to you, KY6V, KB8ZGL.
Okay. Understand, Mike. Thank you, KY6V, for South Cars. This is our TNT program for this month, our TIN program for this month, and we are discussing All-Star and D-Star. Are there any quick questions of Mike on All-Star before we go into D-Star, please? Over.
KB8JXX.
Hey, TJ, I called you a little while ago, and I don't know if you dropped off or just what. Good evening to you, Tiger. Go ahead, please. Over.
The problem is I was only able to listen. I was listening on through the repeater, IRLP repeater 7439, but I was not able to talk, so that's why I was texting, and I was like, I wish I could get in, but I can't. I can't get out of the building. But the question for Mike is, he was talking about the thin client, radio thin client module, and so the question is, what is the easiest way to configure that? I've got one now. I've got the radio gear hooked up. I've got the Cat5 going into it. I got power, but then they tell me I have to build the serial interface, and I was going like, well, that's not easy. That's not fun. I'm not liking this. I got to configure the Windows 7 machine. So if I could just plug it in and then use the portal on the IP-based side, I'd be set. But that's the question.
Okay, go ahead, Mike.
Well, very good. Hi, TJ, and I hope you heard us talking about earlier on All-Star, and the thank you. Again, I want to thank you for from the Great Lakes Reflector side and my own personal side for how much testing you and your group and the Alaska Conference have done on All-Star and continue to do. They push me in new directions over on the Alaska Conference all the time, want to try stuff, and we throw it at it, and we break things, and we bring them back up and do it a different way, and we have a good old time over there. And so, you know, I think everybody, TJOs from South Cars, when they get this, you know, is going to owe a little bit to you and your group for all the going through a lot of the headaches. So thank you. To answer your question, let me take a quick breather here. And George, I don't know what I missed there, but I saw you in the text box. But TJ, there's a couple of things with the RTCM. You do have to get it powered up, so you do have to get power applied to it. To be honest with my first one, and don't ever tell anybody I said this because I'm a little bit too clean of a guy for that, but I hooked up the power with some alligator clips on a serial on an open exposed DB9. And the software, it's all configurable via a serial console. So basically, I use a program called PuTTY, P-U-T-T-Y, PuTTY, if you're not familiar with it. It's kind of built for SSH and Telnet and for system administration, but if you get PuTTY on there, you can set it up to do serial on your computer. Your computer does need a serial port. So the RTCM does need some configuration. Unlike the BeagleBoard and the URI, which are configurable via the GUI, for the rest of you, the RTCM does need some serial console configuration. Basically, you got to get it powered up, plug a serial cable between it and a computer, laptop or desktop, on the appropriate pins, flip-flopped. I would have to look at the manual to remember, TJ, off the top of my head, the appropriate pins. But then you just pretty much load PuTTY on your machine and go in and configure all of the initial probably about 15 settings, and it'll come up as a standalone node at that point. And I can certainly, I know you've been, TJ, for those of you that don't know, has an RTCM, and we haven't gotten it all online yet, and I certainly owe him a little bit of time to help him with that. But they are fairly easy to configure as long as you can do a little bit of serial. And there is a very, very good manual out there for anybody that's interested in reading the manual that gives a lot of good information. Just Google RTCM manual plus All-Star, and it will give you the information. It even gives you screenshots of what those serial menus look like and how you program up the network port and all the different pinouts for the radio or repeater controller that you're connecting it to. So I hope that helps, TJ. If not, we can certainly connect up further. Go ahead, Gordon, and pick it up. See if TJ's good. KY6V, KB8ZG out.
Okay. How say you, TJ? Over.
Well, for the purposes of the net, I think that's good. You got to pay attention when it says serial, and that was toward the bottom of the features list. Well, it caught me off guard, so I'm trying to configure the computer for the serial interface, and so that's my next. But the power is hooked up, everything's working. I just got to get in there with the serial side, and I'll be going to do that actually right away. After I'll be listening on the net, and until it's over, and I'll be delighted to hear about the things that might be coming to reflectors and conferences near you. KBHXX Anchorage.
All right. Thank you very much, TJ. Sure nice having you aboard here this evening. Gordon, KY6V for South Cars, TIN program for the month, and we are discussing All-Star and D-Star. And for the sake of timing, we're going to move right into D-Star at this point. If you still have some All-Star questions of Mike, why, feel free to post them. We're now 7 minutes into the second hour. And as I started All-Star, Mike, I'm going to do the same thing with D-Star. And the question that is posed to you, sir, is what is D-Star? Go ahead, Mike.
Well, thanks, Gordon. And that's a bit of a tricky question. So let's start here. I'll give you the book definition, which is always where I like to start from. What is Wikipedia or the Internet tell me D-Star is? And And D-STAR has an official title. It stands for Digital Smart Technologies. Again, Digital Smart Technologies for Amateur Radio. D-STAR is an open standard digital communication protocol, meaning that the protocol is published on the internet and available for people to understand the protocol. And it is established by, the protocol was written by the JARL, which is the Japanese Amateur Radio League, or the amateur, similar to the ARRL in the United States, the ARL of Japan, or JARL, is who's the technical governing group behind the D-STAR standard. So what is D-STAR really? D-STAR doesn't mean digital radios. It doesn't mean ICOM radios. It doesn't mean anything more than an open standard protocol that is very specific in what it allows and doesn't allow. And it calls for an intermingling of both voice and data traffic within the actual packets of data that are delivered through the digital. So it is certainly a digital technology. It converts from our spoken voice on analog to digital and uses an encoder called an AMBE chip in order to do that. And so each device that takes part in D-STAR is doing A to D and D to A, or analog to digital and digital to analog conversion within that device. But the D-STAR protocol itself and the term D-STAR simply means the carrying of those packets and how they're carried both on the air and on the internet. And so that is the that is kind of what D-STAR is. It's really a standard, Gordon. KY6V, KB8ZGL.
Okay, before I open this up for questions from the audience, Mike, I need to ask this. It has been my understanding in the past that this is held very close to the vest of those that introduced D-STAR. Very proprietary. Is it getting loosened up as we move along, or what? Over.
Yeah, that's a wonderful question, Gordon. And to be honest, the protocol and the specifics released by the JARL have always been unfairly available. The problem is it takes a serious high-end protocol programmer to be able to understand what those documents are, and those documents also leave some room for interpretation. And the biggest problem that we have here in the United States is that all of the protocol was written and is in Japanese, and things are lost in computer programming, as one might guess, when converted from Japanese to English. And so a lot of the people doing work on the D-STAR standard and on the radio equipment and the different equipment are primarily, in my opinion, North American based. And that's probably not a great way to say it. There's also a ton of people in Germany that work on it, a lot of people in Europe and other parts of the world. But the people that produced commercial equipment for D-STAR, basically I'm speaking about ICOM, had to convert that standard basically from Japanese to English. And so it is open. It is available out there. It's just for a lot of us to get our hands on and understand. Not only is it very high-level computer programming and computer, you know, protocol documentation, it's also all in Japanese, sir. So a lot of that leads to thinking it is very closed, but in all reality, it is open and available.
Oh, that gives me a warm, fuzzy feeling here, Mike. I'm glad to hear that, because I was sort of under the impression that they had it so close to their vest. This is my baby. This has been invented here, and nobody else can use it. So that's great. I'm glad to hear that. All right, any comments on this for Mike from the audience, please? KY6V, suffixes only, and call now. Okay, they're not going to touch that one, Mike. Next question I would have for you, sir, where do I find, or where do our audience people find more about D-STAR, sir? Over.
Well, thanks, Gordon. And before I attack that one, let me back up to your last question just a little bit, KB8ZGL. lot of times, because as I'm thinking and hearing your question again, I get asked that a lot about D-Star, and a lot of people, there's a real buzz or a negative stigmatism around D-Star that people aren't happy with the audio quality of D-Star, or that it sounds like we're going backwards in time, that it sounds like, for those of you that know Nextel and what a Nextel phone sounded like, and they're not happy with the audio quality. So while D-Star is a standard, the primary hardware products out there that are rolling around D-Star are using something, this AMBE chip that I mentioned. Now, the AMBE chip that we're using to do D-Star is a commercially produced chip. It does require licensing fees. It is similar to the chip that's used in P25 and other public safety digital radios for public, you know, for police officers and firemen and women. So it is, I have to be a little careful. While I say the standard is open and available, what we're using to implement it, the AMBE chip, is very much closed and very commercialized. So the commercial hardware available today has basically landed on that chip. So our audio quality and our things are based on that chip and that A to D and D to A conversion, not necessarily the standard of the delivery of those packets. So I hope that didn't confuse everybody too much. But if it did, you can find more information at a couple of places. One of the best on the internet is www.dstarinfo.com. I put that in the text box. It's www.dstarinfo.com. There's a lot of great information on there, a lot of links to products and different reflectors and things we're going to talk about. Another great place if you want to see a lot of the statistics or even the information on D-Star is dstarusers.org. Again, it's in the text box, www.dstarusers.org. And finally, there's before I get into this next one, there's a really good book. Let me recommend, if you're really serious about getting into D-Star, or you want to understand how D-Star works, or you need to program your new D-Star radio that you're going to pick up here at Dayton Hamvention in a month, there's a book out there, and I apologize, because it's called Beginner's Guide to D-Star. And I will tell you, as much as I knew about radio, and even as much as I did in D-Star on my own and learned it a lot on my own, I picked up that book and still found very insightful pieces of information in there. The book's getting a little dated based on how much change has happened. D-Star is a very, very fast-changing technology. But if you're really interested, go spend the good, I think it was about $18 American on the book. It was worth every dollar. I learned so much. It really brought it to life for me. So, you know, for the first time, there's a book designed around our amateur radio technology. And I support the author. I've met, talked to the author, and really would recommend that you get that book. And finally, ICOM, specifically in North America, and a lot of worldwide. Some parts of the world do license D-Star out, and it actually is served out under the Yaesu name, I do believe. But it's basically the same radio as an ICOM radio. And so ICOM has lots of brochures, lots of information, lots of pamphlets. They're the true commercial producer of D-Star radios. And to be honest, they just rolled out some new radios, and they are phenomenal. They're a lot of fun. They're beautiful-looking radios. And the nice thing about that is they do both analog and digital. So one of the biggest concerns is that I'm spending an awful lot on a digital radio. Let me say that they're great on analog, too. So you're getting the best of both worlds, in my opinion. So a lot more info on those two websites, Gordon, otherwise in the book or from ICOM Direct. KY6V, KB8ZGO.
Just great information. Thank you, Mike. Any questions to Mike on what's just been parlayed? KY6V, over.
KD4, Skipper India.
OVI. That's the second mayor of Orange City and the land to boot. Hi, Pete. Go ahead.
Now, the question here is, once I get a D-Star radio, are there any facilities in, let's say, Central Florida that I can connect to? And might as well cover the we are talking about it. cover the areas where D star is available, and the other star system availabilities are in different locations. So you don't buy a radio, and then you say, well, who am I going to talk to? Who am I going to contact? I mean, that would be a great thing to go into too. It's the availability concept in the future. What is the ground plan, and so on and so on. Katie Filosofy of Victor India, back to Gordon.
Well, I would assume that that's probably who's supporting D-Star in our local area, Pete. Mike, would you like to field that, sir? KY6V.
Yeah, you bet, Gordon. And let me back up just for a second here. Thank you for that question, Pete. Let me get back to it in just a moment. And let me, I got the name of the book wrong, and I want to get it right. I apologize. My mind's looking at five different screens. And I got, thank you, William, V3MAW corrected me. The book is produced by Bernie, N6FN, and is called The Nifty E-Z, or Nifty Easy Guide to D-Star. And we'll go ahead and plug their website, www.niftyaccessories.com, N-I-F-T-Y, accessories.com. Thank you, William, for that. And that is the book, well worth worth your time. Pete, to answer your question, I think we're going to get into it a lot about when we discuss in a moment what reflectors are on the D-Star side of the world. Very, very much like the South Cars reflector here, and also potentially how we're going to tie D-Star into South Cars. I think we'll also answer it a little bit further when we talk about potentially what equipment is required to get on D-Star and what are the different ways. And I have some answers for you that there's some neat things out there that can go along with your D-Star radio, or doesn't necessarily have to be a D-Star radio, that will allow you to talk to people all over the world. And so we're going to get into those. If you give me just a moment, I promise you I will show you how you can have some fun, even if there's not a D-Star repeater in your area today, which is very true for the majority of you listening probably. There may or may not be a D-Star repeater within range. They're not. It's a fairly new technology, unlike analog, that's been around for many years here. And so check out dstarusers.org. All the repeaters are listed on there by geographic area. There's a Google Earth map available on there, also at dstarinfo.com. You know, before you run right out and buy a D-Star radio, either listen to the part that's coming up on how to use it without a repeater, or make sure there's a repeater in your area, or you're going to be a little bummed about that radio. I'll be honest with you on that. KY6V, should we expound on it further from there, or other questions? KB8ZGO.
Yeah, I think we're about ready to move it on. What equipment is required for D-Star, Mike? Is there a browser interface, you know, like All-Star? Is there a dongle? Or do you have to buy a radio and go through a repeater? Over.
Well, there's the question I was hoping was coming shortly, Pete, because I think that'll answer a lot of your questions. So KB8ZGL for identification here, Gordon. But there's a few different ways to get started in D-Star. Let's start off right off the bat, though, and say that there is no non-equipment-based way. There is no web browser client for D-Star. There is no, at this point, there is not really a viable sound card-based delivery of D-Star. There is some stuff on the repeater side, but as far as an end user goes, they keep working on it. But again, due to this AMBE chip that you basically need to have to do D-Star in its current form, it really has to be a product that has that AMBE chip in it that does the digital to analog and analog to digital. So what I want to certainly talk about, though, are how do I get into D-Star? How do I start playing with it? And let me pause here a moment, and then I'll talk about the different ways. There's about three ways to get into ICOM into D-Star, and they're almost I say ICOM because all of the radios at this point, for the most part, are ICOM based. If you're going to buy a D-Star radio, make sure you have a D-Star repeater in your area is one option. The second option is to utilize something called a DVAP or DVAP. And you can Google DVAP. DVAP is a piece of hardware made by a gentleman named Robin AA4RC. And the DVAP is a little reader, basically, with an AMB chip built in it and a very small milliwatt-powered transmitter that takes the internet signals of the D-Star protocol, puts them through the AMB chip, and sends them out on RF between your radio and this little thing called the DVAP. Let me take a pause and I'll try and do that one more time. Repeat. If we back up just a little bit and don't talk about radios, which probably is where I should have started, there's a thing that was first produced because not everywhere when D-Star came out, there was very few repeaters in the United States. I think the one we put up here in my part of town was like number maybe 8 in the world or so. And I don't know if that's exactly the right number. There was a lot going up at that time, but very early on, and so nobody could get into D-Star repeaters. So they, Robin, AA4RC, came up with this AMBE chip, basically, to plug into the computer called the DV dongle. Basically, DV dongle is a little plastic box. I got one sitting here in front of me. They're about an inch and a half by 4 inches by half an inch, quarter inch thick. Plug it into USB, and what that does is when you're talking into your microphone, like I am now, or you are when you're talking to me, it sends your audio that's analog to that box, which has the AMBE chip in it, converts it to digital, and then uses a software package called DV Tool, Digital Voice Toolbox, effectively is what it stands for, to send that out to the internet and to the D-Star repeaters or the D-Star reflectors. I apologize, I don't know exactly what they cost right now. I want to say right around somewhere between $100 and $200 to be safe. But that is by far the easiest, least expensive way to get into D-Star. And somebody just posted again, thank you, William, $200. He bought one at Dayton Hamfest in 2009. I do think they've come down just a little bit since then. They'll be a little cheaper this year at Hamfest, I think. But let me take a pause real quick so I don't time out. So the DV dongle is the easiest way to get involved in D-Star with the least amount of investment and least amount of equipment, and allows you to do everything that D-Star is capable of. You can talk anywhere in the world to the repeaters, to the reflectors, to other end users. And if you want to go a little further than that and you want to, and you have a repeater in your area, then by all means I would recommend you buy a radio utilize the radio for its capabilities along with the Nifty EV guide that will tell you how to program it. If you don't, though, if you want to own the radio and you do not have a repeater in your area, but you still want to use that radio and be able to walk around your house, not be tied to your computer, then by all means check out the DVAP, or in a moment we're going to talk about a thing called the Homebrewed Hotspot. The Hotspot is a replacement for the DVAP that is a lot more experimental, takes a lot more programming and understanding of computers, but is not so commercialized, and you can have some fun with it. So, Gordon, to answer your question, you can get into D-Star a couple of ways, either with this DV dongle device that plugs into your USB and does the conversion analog to digital. You can do it with a radio and a repeater, or you can do it with a radio and some type of hotspot slash DVAP. So a couple of different ways to get in there, but all of them fitting different needs of depending on what D-Star is and is not around. KY6V, KB8ZGL.
Okay, very good. So you have the dongle application available to you on either All-Star or D-Star. I'm sure they're different. Does the repeater that is running D-Star need to have internet interface for us with the dongles to get to it? Over.
Now, that's an excellent question, Gordon, and William kind of posted in the text box a similar piece of information. So let's start here. A D-Star repeater can stand alone and be used as a traditional standalone repeater with local users, and it will work fine and dandy like your local commute repeater that's not tied to the internet, that's not tied to anything else, and you just, you know, speak with your friends, and I hope you have a busy repeater. In a lot of the parts of the United States, unfortunately, our repeater usage is down. We really want to tie them to the internet. So in the D-Star world, we have a piece of software that runs on a computer and with a router. I will tell you it is not for the faint of heart to set up, even as a computer network guru myself and living in that world daily in my job. It took some work figuring out all the intricacies of how they've done it to make it work, but there's a piece of software called the D-Star Gateway, which runs a piece of software additionally called D-Plus, or there's some other spin-offs of D-Plus called IRC DDBD, or some other things that we'll discuss maybe under the fun section and what you can do that's fun with D-Star. But if you want to interconnect D-Star repeaters or users across wider areas or multiple D-Star repeaters, then you need a D-Star gateway that is connected into the internet on that D-Star repeater. Or you need the DVAP. The DVAP with an internet connection can talk to all those other things, reflectors, repeaters, other users. So all of D-Star in the format of being able to talk wide range all does require the internet or a 10 gigahertz wireless backbone link, some way of interconnecting those, which you can do on a private network as well. But yes, if you want to go beyond just your local commute repeater, that is correct. KY6V, KB8ZGL.
Well, thank you very much for that, Mike. All right, KY6V for SouthCars. We're discussing All-Star and D-Star, and in the D-Star segment at the moment. Any questions of Mike on what we've just been talking about, please call now.
Comment, V3MEW.
Mr. Peterborough, go right ahead, Bill, over.
Yeah, it's V3MEW in Peterborough. One little tiny item that Mike did mention. As I said, there's only two amateurs in Peterborough that have D-Star capability. I myself have three radios that are all D-Star capable and functional. And my friend in Peterborough that I got into amateur radio, he has a D-Star handheld. The two of us can communicate with our D-Star handhelds through the D-Star repeater in the D-Star mode. And what's interesting about it is that nobody else in town can copy us. Nobody else can listen in on our conversation. So if you were here, Gordon, we could talk about you, and there's no way you could hear what we were saying unless you had a D-Star radio yourself. So that's kind of the interesting thing about it. We've also tried and are trying to see if we can learn to send data through the D-Star radios for communication purposes, such as an event that we might provide communications for. And that data, of course, would be have a high security rating because of the fact that you're not going to be able, the ordinary individual amateur is not going to be able to copy it unless they have a D-Star capable radio. Back to you, sir. V3MEW.
Comment. AB1RXA with a comment.
Okay, I think that was RXA. It was coming in on ONE-R, I guess. Stand by, sir. We'll be right with you. Bill, let me ask you a question. If you and your friend are communicating on D-Star through the local repeater, which is also equipped to run normal amplitude or frequency modulated signals on the repeater, what happens when somebody keys up and starts talking on FM when you guys are talking on digital? Does that just make a mess out of the whole thing or what, Bill? Over.
That's a neat question. I have never tried to key up the D-Star repeater here with normal analog FM. I'm not sure I can. I've never tried it. It's programmed into my radios in the D-Star mode, and I've never tried it any other way. And any time that, that other people have, I don't know. I really can't tell you. We don't have any trouble communicating, and we've done some experiments, and people have tried to listen. And they couldn't get nothing out of it at all. It was unintelligible. So that's a question I can't answer, sir. And
all right. Well, thank you, Bill. Mike may have an answer on that. RXA, are you still over there on the east coast or west coast of Florida, sir? And please go ahead. Over.
Good evening, Gordon. Yes, I'm here in Waikiki on the Gulf Coast, an hour north of Tampa.
and I'm on my All-Star box. That's the KK4ONE you're seeing. That's the call the FCC gave me for a club over here. And I love the net. I don't want to get too far afield because I know it's going in, proceeding in an orderly direction. Just a couple of quick comments. One of the things that we're doing with, I'm doing with this All-Star box is about to, the All-Star can be a repeater controller. And I'm going to add D-Star to it, believe it or not, with a device called the DV dongle that was just discussed here. In reference to your question, if you transmit, if you've got a D-Star repeater, and they're very, very easy to build, folks, because all you need is a board with a chip, you don't even need an ICOM radio to access the repeater if you want to talk on D-Star, if you do it that way. But if you key one up with a FM signal, the board will sit there and do nothing. The repeater will just pass the FM analog traffic. It will not interfere with the D-Star side of things at all. What else did I want to mention? Oh, there's a huge amount of innovation going on. I think you had a question, Gordon, earlier about the, you know, how proprietary is this stuff, and we talked about the protocol and that kind of thing. Well, these days you can actually purchase a board that has the AMB chip embedded in it, and that's how you you can use D-Star without ICOM. You can actually walk around with like a Baofeng, which I've got right now, and you know, that analog audio will be converted to digital format and can go over D-Star. Anyway, I won't hold up the net. Boy, did I get luck out tonight. My two favorite topics, and I want to thank, I think it's Mike there for his commitment to the hobby and for providing us with all this good information. Anyway, back to net. KB1RXA, Portable, Florida.
Very good. Well, thanks, Chris. Nice having you aboard, sir. May I ask a quick question before I turn this to Mike? What happens with a straight vanilla FM signal transmitting at the same time on the repeater as the D-Star signals are trying to transmit also? Is it just a big mess, or what happens? Okay, I didn't hear Chris come back on that, but I'll bet you can answer that, Mike. KB8ZGL, KY6V for South Cars.
Yeah, very good, Gordon. KY6V, KB8ZGL. And hi, Chris. Thanks for being here, and good to catch up with you. I know our paths, I believe, have crossed in the past, very neat stuff that Chris is doing, everybody, and I'm hoping if we get through a little more of this, we'll have some time at the end to tell you all the neat things that we can do with the interlinking technologies. Chris, I will caution you, make sure if I know it can be done. I've done it. I was one of the very early on adopters of doing what you're doing. Make sure you know the rules and the international rules, which we're going to talk about in a minute, and why this might be harder on South Cars, and if you do that and the South Cars traffic is coming out and somebody comes in on All-Star, I won't go too in-depth, but there's some international rules that play a problem when we connect D-Star in with analog or with IRLP Echo Link or the other options. Just be mindful of that, but certainly very neat. There is a lot of neat stuff. Gordon, and let me, you know, not to confuse things, but there's a new piece of controller out there that's capable of running an FM repeater and a D-Star repeater at the same time. It's called PC Repeater Controller. It is actually what I run here for my hotspot, and we'll get into the fun stuff. I'm trying to hold back the fun stuff where we can really, really talk and have a lot. I'm trying to get through some basics because that runs on a Raspberry Pi and can be a full FM and D-Star repeater at the same time. Not at the exact same time, one signal or the other, but it will interpret and deal with both appropriately. Very, very neat technology. My general answer, though, to your question is, I know that it causes interference, obviously, because it's an RF carrier on the frequency, but I've had people key up on FM, and the people on D-Star key up, and the D-Star continues to work just fine. So because it doesn't, the repeater isn't going to take that initial carrier, it isn't going to see that initial header on the packet because it's FM. Instead of digital AMBE encoded, the repeater controller is not going to do anything with it. So it is interference from an RF level, but certainly it isn't going to stop the repeater from functioning. Let me take a second here. And so, you know, maybe some people could tell me more if they had familiar. I haven't done it a lot. I haven't tried to do that, really. But I do know that we've done it in the past on accident and that the digital continued to work. You know, and the other big thing I think we mentioned probably here is the range of D-Star. In our testing, the digital technologies, D-Star and DMR, which we're going to talk about in a little bit, far exceed analog, except when you get to the very fringes, the weak signals on analog will come through with static and crackling and bacon fry or whatever you want to call it in the analog world. And now I'm getting hungry because I talked about bacon. But in the digital world, you're in or you're not in. If it can't get those packet headers, you will not make the repeater. However, the digital signal typically will have a bigger coverage area than the analog repeater from the same site. Go ahead, Gordon, KY6V, KB8ZGL.
Well, let me ask you this question. And you know, the technology and the nomenclature is just getting out of sight. Now we're talking about Raspberry Pi, and we previously talked about beagles, and now we're talking about bacon. But, you know, can an FM signal on a repeater be properly demodulated at the receiving point at the same time that a D-Star digital transmission is occurring? Over.
Oh, Gordon, I'm gonna leave that one to the RF guys. I'm more of an IP guy. I honestly do not know the best answer for you on that. My understanding is that you can, you know, pick them both up off of the same listening gear, because you can use a 9600 baud capable analog radio on a D-Star front end, and it will work just fine. So it will receive analog, and it can also receive that AMB D-Star GMS K9600 baud data and be tied into an AMB chip. So certainly the right kind of radios, if they have an open, if they're 9600 baud packet capable, which, you know, there's less, I don't know the exact terms, here's where I'm going to fall down on you a little bit, but there's less filtering done, I believe, on that, and less tweaking of that actual audio. So if it's capable of doing 9600 baud packet, it can pass both FM and D-Star. That is what most of us are using that build these home nodes that we're going to talk about, or these home hotspots, in a moment.
Okay. You know, I'm beginning to think this is such an interesting subject, Mike, that we should probably consider a second presentation, you know, call it number two on All-Star and D-Star. Lots to get our arms around. Okay, any questions before we proceed with the program, please? KY6V, over.
V3MEW.
Mr. Bill, go ahead, sir.
This is V3MEW. I'm sure you can appreciate this comment, because as much fun as I personally think it is on Echolink here to be able to talk to people and send my voice out to repeaters all over the planet, and we could have conferences here with Mike3LVQ and a whole bunch of people from Australia and all the USA, all in here at one time. For me personally, to be able to walk down this Gorge Street to Peterborough here with my ICOM 9280 handheld in my hand, and I'm putting out just a couple of watts of power, and I'm having a conversation with a chap over in Glasgow, Scotland, and talking on a round table with another guy in Queensland, Australia, another guy in Florida, another guy in California, all at the same time in a round table, just like a net. I mean, that just never gets old as far as I'm concerned. That really takes the cake. That's kind of my take on all this stuff. I think that's really neat to be able to do that. And then, of course, I come back here and fire up the FT950, trying to get one lousy stinking station off in the middle of the India Ocean somewhere, in the middle of a chunk of rock. Oh, man. And there's probably 50,000 people trying to call a guy all at once. Oh, boy. Anyway, that's enough nonsense out of me. Back to NetB3MEW.
I hear you, Bill. Yeah, is this amateur radio or not? That is the question. Hey, guys and gals, we're 45 minutes into the second hour. We don't want to tie everybody up here too long. Let me move it on, and Mike, with your permission, I'm going to sort of skip ahead on the script that you and I are using this evening. May I pose the question, if I may, what is a reflector? And we're talking D-Star. Go ahead, sir. Over.
Well, thanks, Gordon. Good question. And Bill, thanks for your, William, Bill, Bill, I believe you went by there. Thank you for your thoughts there as well. Let me say this, KB8ZGL. The reason I play in all these technologies and the reason I sit here and work on building these reflectors and tying all this stuff together and figuring out how to do it and how to do it legally and without rubbing too many people the wrong way and things like that is exactly what you said, Bill, and that is I want everyone, wherever they are, whatever technology they're using, to be able to talk to each other. And at the end of the day, for me, I don't really care if I'm on analog, if I'm on digital, if I'm on IRLP, EchoLink, D-Star, All-Star, if I'm on, we didn't even talk about on All-Star, some of the neat stuff. I'm hoping we still have a few minutes, Gordon, for some neat stuff, but whether I'm picking up my telephone and talking, at the end of the day, amateur radio is about the relationships, the people, and talking to each other, and then the ability for that to be utilized in emergency communications. What I find in this hobby so fascinating and also so disturbing is with all these different technologies out here, the amount of fight that is out there about putting it all together and making it so it can all talk. But in an emergency, I don't want my emergency manager going, I have a D-Star radio, Mike, I can't talk to you because you're on the analog repeater. So if you want to ask me if it's not coming across, what I'm really passionate about is the interconnectivity of the different systems, specifically for emergency uses, but also primarily, Bill, so that we can have these great conversations, that there's people right now listening, like RXA on All-Star, people on EchoLink, people on IRLP. There are people that could listen right now on D-Star if they know all the right places to connect, and soon we'll hopefully make that easier. But, you know, thanks for bringing that up, just because that is what I'm passionate about in this hobby and with VoIP technology. So, you know, just wanted to reiterate that, and thank you for your comment. Let me take a brief pause, Gordon, and then I'll jump off that soapbox and answer your question on reflectors. All right, very good. The reflector question, and this gets a little bit muddy, Gordon, so let me caution you there. What happened is because we had all these repeaters out there, originally the D-Star protocol called for repeater-to-repeater and user-to-user routing. But it didn't really call for a whole bunch of repeaters to be connected together. So think about all of us sitting here in South Cars. That wasn't originally designed into the D-Star protocol. And so Robin A4RC designed a software, the D-Plus software we talked about earlier, to basically build something called D-Star Reflectors. And there's several hundred of them now. And they are referred to as REF, REF for reflector. Like 001 through, I think we're up to, I don't even know, last time I checked we were over like 050. So, for example, the reflector that I run here in Michigan is REF 004, reflector 4. We host all of the D-Star repeaters out of the state of Texas on reflector 004B. We host general D-Star nets on reflector 004C, and then we maintain a channel A, reflector 004A, for our experimental, and then we have reflector 004D for data. So the difference of the reflectors on the D-Star side is that they basically have different channels on them, depending on what your needs are or what conversations you're looking for. And again, I point everybody to dstarusers.org and dstarinfo.org, where they list all these reflectors and who hangs out and what repeaters are regularly on the regular channels. So think about it as much like the Great Lakes reflector here hosts 10 different channels and 10 different groups, D-Star reflectors are similar and do the same thing. But the whole goal is to tie more people together and multiple, this multicast concept, if you will, of one person talking going out to many, Gordon. That's the most simplistic view of what a D-Star reflector. Basically the same concept as what South Cars is here KY6V, KB8ZGL.
Hey, that's great information. Thank you, Mike. KY6V here for South Cars. So if I had a D-Star dongle, would I have the flexibility, sir, of picking what channel your server has or reflector has and join that particular group? Over.
Yeah, Roger, Gordon, that's exactly right. In that, in the tool that comes, that DV tool that we talked about, you get a drop-down that lists all the different reflectors, and then their module. They're referred to as modules. So module A, module B, module C, module D, module E. Module E is typically always reserved for an echo test, much like we have on EchoLink and IRLP node 9999. So you would simply, in the drop-down box, select the reflector you wanted to go to and the module you wanted to go to. Now, it doesn't tell you specifically what those are for. You have to find those on other websites and things. But basically, if somebody told you, for example, to go to REF 004 Alpha, you would just select that, and then you would be talking with all of the repeaters and other DV dongle and DV app users, as well as home hotspots that are connected to that reflector module.
That's fantastic. The world is getting wide and broad. All right, any questions for Mike at this point, please? KY6V for South Cars. All right, hearing none. Is there any plans on your planning board to include D-Star into South Cars after you get the problems taken care of on All-Star, sir? Over.
Well, very good, Gordon. That's an excellent question, one I regularly wrestle with. And my answer is, based on what I said a few moments ago, I absolutely want to do it. And I want to figure out how. And we've done a lot of testing. I think Gordon himself was around a couple of years ago when we had a very in-depth conversation of the legalities about doing so and what problems it causes in certain parts of the world. And just let me spend a quick second on that. We could tie D-Star into this reflector system today, and we've done it and experimented with it. Gordon's talked to me on a D-Star radio in the past connected into South Cars. Certainly can be done. We have a problem in parts of the world, specifically in Australia, where their rules are written that if a user comes in on one mode and leaves on another mode, that they are in violation of their licenses unless they carry a certain license. And they actually are licensed there per mode. And I apologize, I'm not an expert entirely on this, but I regularly do debate it with people. So I'm becoming more of an expert on it. But the problem is the change of mode. And if they change modes and also potentially change frequencies, they can be in violations of their licenses with the equivalent of the FCC in Australia specifically. And so we have to be very concerned around South Cars being an international organization and very much that we strive and reach out to a world population, that we follow rules that are not going to get anybody in trouble. So we have set aside, let me pause here for just a second. We have set aside a reflector channel, and there are multiple, D-Star gets a little confusing because there's multiple technologies now built by different people around this reflector technology. There's REFs, there's XRFs, which stands for extra reflector, and I'm not going to get into all this, but there's things called CCSs, which are basically call path or call routing. There's some other StarNet reflectors and different things that you can plug into. So it gets a little bit confusing with all the innovation that's going on right now. It's one of the hardest things about D-Star, in my opinion, is all the experimentation is awesome. The openness is awesome. The changes and all the new stuff and all the people involved. But at the end of the day, for the end user, it gets very confusing, and it's a lot of reading to figure it out. But we have set aside reflector channels on D-Star for South Cars. Certainly, that would be REF 004 Alpha on the traditional K5 TIT U.S. Trust. And I know there's a lot of things I just threw in there real quick, but REF 004 Alpha, or if you're on the D-Extra side, XRF 004 Alpha. And that's the module A as an alpha. And those two are tied together, REF and XRF, on our system. And Gordon, I'd certainly hope that we can figure out how to do it within the legal binds of what we have internationally to tie it into South Cars, because if we could figure that one little piece out, we'd have it done today, sir. Hope that answers your question. KY6B, KB8ZGL.
Yeah, there's a lot of mishmash that goes on with this, Mike. We on South Cars face these various regulations, too. You know, we like to run our nets here on South Cars to have people just check in with their suffix. Then we assemble a group, get the full call as we go through the group call-in. We have problems with Australia. We have problems with Europe. We have problems with Canada that they, by legal means, cannot come in with just their suffix. They are obligated to come in with their full call. So I understand this completely. But it'll all work out, I guess. All right, any questions on this, please? KY6V for South Cars, over. Okay, we are about 56 minutes into the second hour here. Mike, may I ask you to say whatever you would like to say about the neat things that a person can do with D-Star, and All-Star for that matter? And then we'll go into a couple of general questions and maybe make it a wrap. What do you think, Mike? Over.
Yeah, Roger Gordon. Sounds wonderful. I'd love to talk about a few of the neat things because that's what fascinates me. That's where I play. That's where I enjoy why it drives. You know, you have to understand all these basics. And certainly, if anyone has any questions, again, let me please ask. Email me. KB8ZGL, Kilowatt Bravo 8, Zulu Golf Lima at KB8ZGL.net. I will gladly take personal time with you. You're welcome to contact me on my IRLP repeaters, my Echolink repeaters, D-Star if you so desire. We do have to get back to Moto Turbo, Gordon, so we better wrap here in a moment. But, you know, certainly please get in touch with me if you want to talk about stuff. But let me pause for just a few seconds and give you a few examples of the neat stuff coming down the pipeline, or what I call neat, that fascinates me. And I'm going to start on the All-Star side for no particular reason. They're both fun. One of the neatest things we did the other day on the All-Star side is remember that All-Star, again, is a phone-based system. A lot of us run, in the IT world, run Asterisk. If you learn Asterisk, know Asterisk. You can plug in a traditional voice over IP telephone. Many of you probably have Vonage, know what Vonage is. You can take a Vonage adapter and a telephone and connect it into your repeater. I kid you not, we've taken this a step further, and at my office, on my telephone system, I can simply dial my All-Star node number on my telephone, on my speakerphone. It comes up and listens to my repeater while I'm sitting at my office desk. And if I want to talk, I can either key it with a DTMF command on my phone, or I can turn on Vox, turn my speakerphone off mute, and I can talk on the repeater. Now, if you can't tell me that's not having fun with amateur radio at work, it's fun. So, you know, there's all these things on All-Star because it's so open that can be plugged in there. When you're at Dayton Hamvention, look at all the VoIP adapters that are available, and for a couple of dollars, and you've got your All-Star interface. You know, if you want to get a little more on the high end, we're doing video conferencing along with the audio with some of the H.294 codec stuff. So, you know, you can check out, there's a great articles, good videos online. I encourage you to check some of that out on the All-Star side. You know, certainly, let me pause for just a second. I think on the All-Star side also, certainly neat stuff you can do with scripting. William mentioned it down here, too, in the link. Like IRLP, if you're familiar with all the K6IB scripts that were written by Brent and a whole bunch of others out there that do weather announcements and time of the day and voicemail boxes, all of that's available on All-Star as well through similar scripts that have been modified by people. Another big thing on All-Star is the ability to plug it into an auto patch into the phone system, for goodness sakes, on the back end. So at the end of the day, you can tie it into an auto patch and do auto patch calls. You can pay a small fee to the allstarlink.org website and make auto patch calls for free anywhere in the United States and other parts of the world. I don't know what they all are, but that's very neat. The other thing that is really cool on All-Star is All-Star is also built a lot around remote base control. So if you take one of these Beagle boards that has two radio ports, put your repeater on one side of it, tie it into the All-Star network, and hang a TS2, well, that's a bad example. Hang an ICOM 706 Mark IIG, which is an all-mode HF 2-meter 440 6-meter radio off of the B port, the second port. They have an All-Star node number on both ports, and you can interconnect them. So if you want to get really crazy, now I can take my phone at my office, and I can connect into my All-Star repeater, and then I can connect my remote base in. So now everybody on my repeater, as well as my All-Star system, can hear my HF radio, and I can copy the HF South Cars net, which I regularly have done. I just have not checked in yet, Gordon, and I owe you one on that still, sir. But that's some neat stuff on All-Star. The world knows no bounds, in my opinion, on All-Star because it's open. The Vox capabilities, the auto patch capabilities, the simulcasting ability and multi-site voting over IP on All-Star, the pre-canned packages, I really think makes All-Star. It's where all the experimentation in VoIP is kind of happening. So if you're a big experimenter, lots of fun. I'll take a quick pause, and then I'm going to quick hit on my neat things for D-Star, and then we'll pass it for questions. KB8ZGL. So what's fun on D-Star? Honestly, D-Star, in my opinion, is as much fun as All-Star. It depends which weekend, what I want to play with, but and I make a lot of time to try and learn this stuff, you know, to do things and talk to people about it. But in my mind, what's fascinating, like the BeagleBoard on All-Star side, is the Raspberry Pi that many of you are familiar with. But if you're not familiar with the Raspberry Pi is basically a sub, I'm going to get the numbers wrong, but it all said and done, power supply and an SD card and a case. You're sub $200 for a computer that fits in the palm of your hand. If you haven't seen it and haven't heard about it, check it out. Google Raspberry Pi. Just remember, a good tasting pie, and you'll be in good shape. But what's neat is you can build an entire D-Star repeater for your home use or for your club's use out of a Raspberry Pi with something called a DV node adapter. DV node adapter is what basically takes in the audio out of a GMSK 900 baud or 9600 baud radio and feeds it into this sound card repeater. And then that then is your interface. So at the end of the day, this is not an ICOM-only thing anymore. You can utilize this Raspberry Pi with open software that is very simple, even for somebody that doesn't fully understand Linux or Wheezy or the things that run on Raspberry Pi. So by all means, I would check that out, especially if you don't have a D-Star repeater in your area. At the end of the day, I've built a D-Star repeater for under $1,000 for sure, with a full controller, multiple DV node adapters and radio ports on multiple frequencies, and all of the fun of using a full-blown ICOM stack, which means that you have all the bands UHF, VHF, and 1.2 gigahertz, and we've built that all now on open-source technology. A couple other fun things to check out on D-Star for the real advanced that really want to get into it. Check out CCS channels or CCS calling. Check out StarNet. Check out FreeStar. FreeStar is a very big organization that's heavily into open sourcing and the D-Star protocol and utilizing an All-Star backend to be able to do like RxA is doing. And talk between digital and analog and this All-Star piece and the Echolink piece and the RLP piece. You know, at the end of the day, if D-Star scares you from a price tag or an ICOM-only area, look at the homebrew stuff. There's a lot out there that's a lot of fun and doesn't take very little soldering, if any. A lot of it comes kitted. And one other big piece, and I'll leave it with this on D-Star to check out. If you want to check out what's going on and how active D-Star is, I encourage you to check out a site called IRCDDBD. That's India, Romeo, Charlie, Delta, Delta, Bravo, Delta, IRCDDBD, or IRC D-Star Database. And look at the live feed. click live feed and look at it, and you will see the people keying up where they are, what their call sign is, what repeater they're coming through, what reflector or CCS path or STN path they're talking to. And I just really encourage everybody to check it out. See how much activity is going on in D-Star. It is coming. Digital's coming whether we like it or not. And it's fun. I think it's a lot of fun. So, Gordon, I'm going to let you take some questions there. Just don't let me forget to talk a moment about DMR versus D-Star. I can either do it right now or we can take some questions and then do it, sir. So hopefully I didn't overwhelm or run my time too long. There's exciting stuff going on in all of these worlds, and I hope you all get a chance to play with it, and some of you contact me and want to try some things out, and I'll encourage you or present some things along the way that will help you. KY6B, KB8ZGO.
Absolutely fantastic, Mike. I would need, before I open to the audience here, to ask you this question, sir. How did you manage to obtain the knowledge of all these acronyms? Do you have a good polished secretary that keeps you up to date, or what? Over.
You know, Gordon, back at Michigan State University, I had a professor that told me the more TLAs you know, the more money at the end of the day you can make. And so for those of you that haven't heard that, TLA stands for three-letter acronym. And I've also added on that the more FLAs you can come up with are four-letter acronyms. That just means that you can talk more word speak in geek language. So at the end of the day, Gordon, I don't it's the geek to be rising, I guess, that memorizes all these TLAs and keeps them all in the back of my head.
Okay. That's why we need to have a second section, a session on this subject that we're discussing tonight, so that you can irradiate, you know, or at least explain what each one of these acronyms mean. I'll tell you what, you've thrown out so many tonight, I bet you everybody's head's swimming. Mike, over.
Well, certainly, Gordon, and I try to take a little bit of a high level and the overall scoping to try to speak to the general, but I also know we have some very technical people listening tonight, so I want to make sure that, you know, throw some of those acronyms in there that keep them happy and not falling asleep, too. And let me just say this. If I did throw out a bunch of TLAs, three-letter acronyms or four-letter acronyms or things that don't make sense, there's a great website out there that I talk to a lot of students about and a lot of people that come to work with me that are young into technology, whatis.com. Honestly, it's a very well-run site, does a great job of these technical terms, whether that's VoIP or IRLP or anything. And if not there, check Wikipedia as a second resort. But whatis.com, Gordon, if I talk too high of a level or if it doesn't come up there, again, you can always email me, ky6vkb8zgo.
Well, I don't know. I think everybody's familiar with .com. At least I would hope so. And then you've got .org and .net and that kind of stuff. Hey, thanks, Mike. Stand by for your DMR and D-Star comparison. Any questions on Mike? What Mike has covered, please. KY6V for South Cars at 9 minutes into the third hour. Over.
RMO.
All right, Mr. Syracuse, stand by. Anybody else? Romeo, Mike, Oscar. Go ahead, sir, and thank you.
And we thank you, sir. And no acronyms here. I'm not going to throw any acronyms around. I've been listening to them all day anyway. I just wanted to make a couple of comments. What a great net this has been. And really, I'm casting my vote right now for a second or possibly even a third net on this. It's just a totally fascinating subject. And I think, you know, you could go so deeply into this. You could run a couple of 2.5-3 hour nets very easily on this, without a doubt. The one thing I did want to point out, I threw a link up in the text box. The guy, whoever's selling this, had the Raspberry Pi for $35 That's pretty good. You couldn't beat that with a stick, even if it's just a even if it's a bogus price. It can't be that much more, you know. I mean, how much more could he tack onto that thing? And there's some videos there too with it that I didn't have a chance to watch, but it looks like there's some informational videos along with it. So for $35, if it proves to be legit, check it out. Might be a good thing. But definitely, Mike, thanks so much for doing this for us, and I hope to come back again, because I'd like to hear some more about it too. It's KC2 RMO, turning it back to Bennett.
Hey, thanks for that, Gary. Very well said, sir, as usual. KY6V for South Cars. Any other comments before we turn it to Mike on DMR versus D-Star? All right, Mike, you're up. Now, I'll tell you what, if these guys haven't been taking notes tonight, they missed it. Go ahead, Mike, KY6V.
Okay, Gordon, very good. Well, I'm going to jump there in just a second, but let me follow up on a couple things real quick. Gary, thanks for the information on the pie. We just call it the pie, Raspberry Pi. It did launch in the United States officially here about a week and a half ago, I think it was on CNN. The price is $35. The goal is to make it a $35 computer. Just be careful. Almost every single person in the United States sold out day one. So if you're looking for them, my recommendation is eBay. Get them from like Arrow or 4Element. Look for the 4Element ones. There's two versions of the Pi. There's an A and a B. The A has 256 megs of RAM. The B has 512. Get the B, especially if you're going to use it for voice over IP applications. That extra RAM helps when the flash drive can't keep up. And just so you also know, that's just the board, Gary. So you've got to add on an SD card. That you want to make sure you get a what they call an extreme SD card or a model. I'm forgetting the term now for the first time tonight, unfortunately, but a Series 10 SD card that will support voice over IP. You'll have problems with breakup and stuff if you go with the lesser, not so good of cards, and you'll end up buying an Extreme or Extreme Pro. I recommend SanDisk. You'll need a power supply along with that, and you don't need a case, but boy, if you start looking at the neat Raspberry Pi cases, won't take you long to think you ought to get something really neat. We just got one at work for one of my guys. It's all aluminum cut, and then we got a 3D printed one and a ABS plastic designed one and an open clear one, and the cases for a Raspberry Pi are as much fun as anything. But yeah, check out raspberrypi.org for all the YouTube videos, and check out the one that's floating across the seas and controlling a boat and what all the neat stuff. If you're in ham, I would encourage everyone to play with a Raspberry Pi. They're absolutely phenomenal. There's thousands of things you can do with them, and there's videos and all the codings out there on how to do it. So enough on the Raspberry Pi. Let me cover one other thing, Gordon, here. I'm going to take a pause for my timeout timer, and then I'll do DMR real quick. One of the things that we didn't mention in all of this, as part of the upgrades that are coming to the South Cars Reflector that I want to touch on, as we work to roll out All-Star, one of the nice things about All-Star is that they've built the components into All-Star to do streaming to the web. Those do not exist in the IRLP form as it is today on the Reflector or in the Echolink as it is on the Reflector. They take separate plugins and some really convoluted things that don't work when you run 10 channels like we're running on the Great Lakes Reflector. When we get the All-Star pieces in place, they offer direct plugins that we can stream out to Radio Reference, that we can stream out to the South Cars website, that others can pick that up, that MP3 multicasted stream. So certainly watch for the streaming piece coming in place. It's probably going to roll out at roughly the exact same time All-Star does, because it's based off of that software package that we're adding in. And so just know that that's coming too, and that we're hoping to reach with the ability to reach people that maybe aren't hams that want to listen and stumble across the South Cars website or your club's website or your personal website, that you'll be able to put that South Car stream on there, and we'll be able to serve that out of our data center as well. So, okay, DMR, Moto Turbo, what the heck is that, right? Let me identify and take a brief break, and then we'll talk about it. KB8ZGL in the South Cars Net, Thursday night informational net. For those of you that aren't familiar with DMR or the technology, it's really a commercially designed technology. It's certainly a digital technology. All indications are that it clearly competes with D-Star in the amateur world. But it is very commercial. Yaesu's taken a swing at DMR, but it's not true DMR. The radio that they released does not work with the Motorola Moto Turbo system or the Vertex system that is true DMR. Think of DMR as another protocol, basically, for digital radio. D-Star was a protocol, DMR is another protocol. What's really unique about the DMR protocol is that DMR allows you to have two groups within and going at the same time on a single RF carrier, so you can do two simultaneous conversations on the same frequency. And that's very much different than D-Star. D-Star is very much based around one single talker at a time, and they can interleave or interweave in the packet data information for GPS and other things. On DMR, you can truly carry on two conversations on two separate talk groups on the same RF frequency. So there's a big supporting group behind Moto Turbo or DMR. DMR's commercialized version for public safety is called Moto Turbo. The radios are fairly expensive. You can find them a little bit on the used market, but they're not. You've got to have the software to program them. They're truly a Motorola. It's truly a commercial technology that has not really been amateurized yet. Doesn't mean it's not going to, but I would caution of staying away probably from the Yaesu radio that came out because they only work with the other Yaesu radios, and they are even already talking. I met with them last year at Hamvention with several of the people and have had conversations with them. That they're going to design that radio, redesign that radio, and they're going to go and follow the DMR standards so that it will work with Turbo and Vertex. And so think of DMR as a competitive technology. There's good and bad about it. There's some really neat stuff. It will internet connect with the net. There's talk groups that are built that are nationwide, United States, and international. There's several groups out there that provide turbo interconnecting or interlinking. There's a group out of California called Turbo 6. There's also another nationwide group in the United States called DCI 6, I believe. And if you Google Moto Turbo or Turbo plus amateur radio, you will find a lot more information on it. We've struggled with which technology here in Michigan to utilize. We have a statewide DMR network rolled out using internet backboning, both private and public internet backboning. And then we have fairly good D-Star coverage as well. And we find different uses for the different things. KB8ZGL, I'm going to take a quick break so I don't time out. Where we've really found DMR to be taken up and work really, really well is in our Aries groups, in our RACES groups, in our Red Cross groups, in our med teams, at least in Michigan. I can only speak from my Michigan experience, and DMR is very, very new to the amateur radio scene. And it takes an awful lot of repeaters, just like D-Star, to cover a whole state. But we've found our public safety because we can give public safety a talk group on the channel while also maintaining a RAG-CHU talk group on the same channel allows public safety to kind of be, and by public safety I mean our RACES groups, our Aries groups, all those groups I mentioned. They kind of have their own talk groups and their own channel on the same frequencies. And so it allows us to, in public service, what I look at when we're building the communication systems for those groups is the amount of assets and the number of channels we can utilize on those assets in a very large emergency. And then can they or can they not survive without the internet? If the internet piece is not up, a DMR repeater still works just like a local repeater, same as D-Star, so everything's good there. But they can interconnect, and they can interconnect those separate talk groups differently. And so I can have one that was connected to my EOC, and all of the repeaters could connect to the EOC, and then one that could connect to a nationwide EOC in the event of a major emergency. So certainly competitive technology is the biggest holdback right now on DMR is that you have to either know somebody that has the Motorola software or that has set themselves up as a Motorola authorized dealer or Vertex dealer and has bought the software. And so fairly expensive radios to get programmed at this point. No traditional amateur developer yet at this point. And, you know, just an example, the latest handhelds and the Moto Turbo line are right around $700, $800 and American. And the mobiles, you know, in a roughly the same area, upwards of $1,000 if you want color screens. I will tell you this, neat radios and a lot of fun to play with. But D-Star is a little more amateur yet at this point, but Turbo is certainly also viable. KY6V, maybe you can pass back and see if I answered. I think that question was from William, KB8ZGL.
Okay, that last key up was coming out of RCR up north, but that's okay. Before I open this up for comments and questions on that, Mike, let me ask you this. The DMR, you keep saying the same frequency. How are they accomplishing that? Is that a multiplex type system or what, sir? Over.
Well, I knew you were going to ask that, and I've been trying to remember the term, so bear with me. It's one of these four-letter acronyms. I'm looking, and I was hoping somebody was going to tell me in the bottom, but I think they are using, basically, Gordon, what they're using is the timing slots. So it's TDMA. But basically they're taking and using every other of the timing slots for the packets. Because they're digital packets, they can deliver two voice packets in every timing slot. So that's how we're getting talk groups. Two talk groups is using TDMA. You can check it out online. There's YouTube videos. If you type in Moto Turbo TDMA YouTube, you can see it. But let me tell you the coolest thing about DMR and Moto Turbo and why I'm playing in it. It can utilize roaming. And this is a new concept in amateur radio. D-Star tried for this with call sign routing, where I can pick your call sign, Gordon, and I can put it in my radio, and it will find you, and it will route me to you. DMR is a little different. I just put the talk group in. I load all the repeater frequencies that are on that have that talk group available, and my radio automatically jumps to the best repeater for me. So literally I can now drive across the state of Michigan and never touch my radio the whole time, talking to people on the same talk group with me and interconnected to the internet. It's fascinating. Roaming capabilities of Moto Turbo, absolutely fascinating, because for public safety, they don't have to worry if a repeater goes down because another repeater picks it up. If I change counties, doesn't matter, the next repeater auto picks it up. So it gets a heartbeat from the repeater that basically tells it what repeaters are available to it, and it supports full roaming across multiple frequencies within a talk group, Gordon. KY6V, KB8ZGL.
I find that just absolutely fascinating. Would you be interested, Mike, in a second edition of this program sometime down the pike? At which point maybe you would be so kind to tell all of us the actual definitions of the acronyms and a little more exposure on what you're talking about. We have thrown out so much information tonight that is so healthy and so germane that I think a lot of people out here, Mike, are saying, holy mackerel, Andy, what was he talking about? Over.
Gary, question?
Yeah, Pete, I got you. I'll let me respond to Gordon, and then I'll grab your question. But, Gordon, you're right. And we've covered a lot in a broad range of topics, and these could all individually be discovered and discussed for 3 hours on their own. So let me close with this before I grab Pete's question, and then we'll take any more questions. I'm going to grab my handheld. I'm going to grab my Moto Turbo radio behind me here and take your questions on Turbo. Watch that. That'll be fun. But real quick, let me just close with this. At the end of the day, for the All-Star side, go and get registered. Go to allstarlink.org and get registered. Start playing with it. Start using the Java client and have fun with it. On D-Star, figure out if it's where you want to do, if you want to take the venture into digital, and if you do, and you're not super serious about it, and you're not real sure, and you're not in the market for a new radio, try out a DV dongle. They're worth every dollar that you buy them for new up on eBay. They go instantly. So try it out for a couple weeks. If you don't like it, and as long as not every single one of you doesn't do it to me, I will buy it from you because I will go find somebody else to give it to play with and or sell it to, because it is that fascinating. So try it. And for DMR, see if there's a turbo repeater in your area and somebody with one. Go see your commercial radio shops and visit them and have them show you off a Motorola. You know, the two-way radio shops are our best friends a lot of times. Sometimes they don't like hams, so find the ones that do. But tell them that you want to see the Moto turbo system, even if you're a ham, and they'll show it off most of the time. So I'll leave you with those three things. And Gordon, certainly, let's have some more discussions. I love Q&A time as much as I love these overscoping things, because I know it's so much information. So, you know, let's put the questions together and certainly get back together. With that, Pete, go ahead, sir. I'm just going to pass it to you for your question. KD4OVI from KB8ZGL.
KD4OVI, permission from Gordon?
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead, Pete. Good evening to you, sir. Back away from the microphone a little bit, please. Over.
Okay. I'm very much interested. Here's my question, Mike. I have an FTR 7800RS, and I'm reading it right out of the book. It can be used to access repeater or base systems, which is configured to provide the Vertex standard virus, which is in parentheses wide coverage internet repeater enhancement system. Operating on an SRG or a sister radio group. What can I do with this? Is that part of it, or is it something different? Sorry for yelling on the microphone. I'm sorry. Back to Gordon to hand it back to Mike. 84, ask you again.
Okay, I'm acting just as a pass through. Go ahead, Mike. KY6V.
Well, thanks for the question, Pete. And we can open up a whole other can of worms if you want. So what you're referring to is what's called WIRES. WIRES is Yaesu's Voice over IP Interlinking System, stands for Wide Coverage Internet Repeater Enhancement System. It was right around the time when Echolink and IRLP were just first coming to the stage, and Yaesu branded and trademarked WIRES. They put the little button on all of their radios and then tried to sell for a fair amount of money the device that the repeater owners needed in order to use WIRES. I'm not going to say a lot of real great things about WIRES, as much as Yaesu may dislike me for that. I've had several of the interfaces. I've tried really hard to get them to work right and interface them with the other systems. And at the end of the day, it's a very, very closed Yaesu system, in my opinion. I would love for have somebody teach me differently, because I have the boxes sitting here and I send in the forms to get them registered and I can't even get them to return them online. So at the end of the day, Pete, I would tell you from my experience that you can use that Yaesu radio, that FT7800R, as a great radio on IRLP, Echolink. You can even turn that into a D-Star repeater because it's 9600 GMSK, which is a packet standard capable. And so it's a great radio. They work phenomenal. But unless you have a wires-capable repeater, which if you're in the United States, which I'm guessing on a KD4 call you probably are, you're going to find absolutely very limited wires support, sir. If you'd like to go into it more depth than that, let me know. Otherwise, Google Yaesu plus wires-II or wires-2, and there's a lot more information about it. And you can get a list of repeaters in the United States that do support it, but it's very limited, sir, at this point, from my understanding and my experiences with it. Go ahead, Gordon, pick it up from there, KB8ZGL.
Well, thank you for that, Mike. Pete, did that answer your question, sir? Over.
Oh, definitely. Thank you very much for that part of the information. At least I don't have to worry about it. If you say it's not going to be very well widely supported, and I'm not going to worry about it. Thank you for the info, and it's a great net. I enjoy it, and you all got to carry this thing out a little further instead of just one. Run it about at least three or four times this conversation. It definitely helps people to understand the system. Katie Kowalska, Victor, India. Toodaloo, and the best of goodbyes.
All right, toodaloo to you, Pete, and thank you very much for being with us tonight, sir. Do we have any other questions? We're about ready to close the session for this evening, unless Mike has something else that he would like to ponder. We're looking for questions or comments from the audience, please. KY6V.
DO1UKZ.
I was wondering if you were going to join us tonight. Daryl, good evening, sir. Go right ahead.
Yeah, unfortunately, it must have been the time difference. It must have been the time difference that screwed me up again this evening, Gordon. I just had to change batteries right quick. You copy now?
Yes, sir. Loud and clear. I'm trying to think about the time difference. I guess you're probably 1 hour up there, closer to UTC than we are down here in Florida. Is that right, Daryl? Or?
Well, it's 3 minutes past 11 in the evening here right now, and I was on a D-Star net, and I remembered I'd spoken to Rick N1VXP this morning. I ended up having to fill in this morning for a regular net controller on the Dew Drop-In conference. Myself and a gentleman from England for 3.5 hours this morning called the first half of the Breakfast Club net over on the Dew Drop-In conference this morning. Their regular net controller was down due to a repeater issue. But, anyway, I just connected. So I'm wondering now how quickly this a copy of this net is going to be available online so I can download it or, you know, possibly get a copy of it. I have a Dropbox account if that's possible to get it, if I gave you the information there for a Dropbox account and if it could be, you know, possibly put in there, you know, that would, you know, it, cut down on you having to send it through Skype like you did last time. This is a topic, actually, that's near and dear to my heart. I absolutely love D-Star. And that's actually what I was doing before I came over here. I was had a conversation on the go between a New Zealand station, a couple of stateside stations, and myself were on there going back and forth after a net. So I was late getting over here again this evening. But I would like to obtain a copy of this net definitely as soon as possible. KY6V, VO1UKZ.
Okay. We can make that happen, Daryl. Shoot me an email, and I'm okay on QRZ, as far as my email address. Give me your Dropbox account, and I'll put it in there. That may be a lot simpler than going through Skype. And we'll make it happen, sir. And glad that you were able to join us. Over.
QSO, appreciate it very much, and I'm interested as well after the experience this morning. I had a good time doing the net there on the other conference, and interested in figuring out how to go about being put on as an NCS with you guys as well, so that's something I'm interested in the near future as well. So anyhow, 73 is for now. From St. John's, Newfoundland, we'll be monitoring until the end of the net. I'll get you off that email there as soon as in the near future as humanly possible. 73 is, and thanks very much, KY6V, VO1UKZ.
Oh, I'm certainly pleased to hear that, Daryl. You know, we are in need of additional NCSs here on South Cars and just would love to have you with us. So, I will make a note here to have our training manager, who is Kathy, K6SUN. She's also our net manager. She wears a lot of hats. Send you an email, and we'll work things out in that direction. Okay, anybody else with any comments for Mike before we start closing, please? Over.
Victor X-Ray Papa.
Lima, Charlie, Bravo.
Okay. I've got VXP and Lima, Charlie, Bravo. And Rick, I haven't been, you know, I'll have to be honest with you, with everything going on tonight, I haven't been watching the user list very carefully, but I hadn't seen you until you just voiced your appearance. Mr. Ohio, go ahead.
Send 1TXP. No, I was in here right at the beginning. Of course, everybody jumped in and kind of got put at the bottom. But I just wanted to let Mike know that really great net. All in favor of a second, even a third session. And I just wanted to let him know that I enjoyed using this conference. I also check into the Michigan conference quite often, and I always find equally just as good as far as audio and everything, and always appreciate getting into quite a few nets. And like I say, I'm all in favor of future nets on this. I did start the registration for All-Star, so I'm one step closer to that. And 1VXP back to net control.
That's fantastic. Mike, you see, you're just going to have to get All-Star linked up here with South Cars as quickly as you can, sir. Hey, thanks, Rick. Appreciate you being there, sir. LCB, hello, George, go ahead.
Hola, senor. Thanks, Mike. Just want to mention that to you. Have totally enjoyed it there and recorded it also, and I'll probably play it back to pick out some of them $5 letters you put together there. Us comps, it takes us a while, but we got the recording, my friend, and hope you can find time to do this again. You know, thank you for that time and so freely giving your knowledge, and just thank you for caring about those here at South Park. KW4, Lima, Charlie Bravo.
Thanks, George. Stand by here, Mike. I'm going to let you make the last hurrah. I will say, George, that I've recorded on three computers down here. So out of the three, I might have one good recording. And all of these acronyms that Mike was throwing out tonight, I'm going to go back through that recording and list and send him a listing of what he used and ask him to explain each one by one the next time we do this. Mike, any comments on that? KY6V, over.
Well, Gordon, to wrap it up, let me make sure I got a copy here on the handheld. I want to explain one piece here to wrap it up. You got a copy of me here, okay?
Yes, sir. Lima Charlie. Go ahead, Mike. We may have a delay here. Lima Charlie, no problem on the copy, Mike. Go ahead on 4818.
Okay, very good, Gordon. Well, let me give you a couple of things. Number one, for anybody interested in the Great Lakes Reflector, we did, I believe, Gordon, a recording that there's a podcast out there on the back-end systems and what all is involved. Check that out on the South Cars website. I believe it's still up there. And let me finish with this. Thank you very much for having me tonight. It's been absolutely a pleasure. I look forward to doing it again here in the near future. I'm certainly available. And I just wanted to jump over here on 4818 and show you how much fun, for me, the love. I am talking to you right now on a 900 megahertz Motorola turbo radio. It's connected into a turbo system, which is connected to an All-Star link, which is connected to an IRLP link, which is connected into the Great Lakes Reflector System and coming out of Station 4818. My dream of all the technologies working together is also going out right now on D-Star and out on XRF-004A and RES-004A. So it's all possible. with time and programs, and for all the software authors out there, if they listen to this podcast, you know, thank you to all of them for their time. It's fun to be an integrator and figure out how it all works, but all the technology coming together of all those different pieces is what really fascinates me. It's so exciting, and just really enjoyed being here tonight and talking it over with all of you. And Gordon, if you shoot me that list, I will take the time, sir, and explain every one of those acronyms for you. You've got it for you and the South Card family. Maybe we can make a net out of acronyms. I'll listen along for a little while. If there's any more questions or anybody wants to jump on, I've got some time yet tonight, so I'll let you wrap it, Gordon, put its final bow on it, tie it up, and then I'll be available for any questions that maybe anybody didn't want to publicly throw out or have on the recording, but please ask away. KY6V, again, thank you for the invite, and thanks for all you do for South Cars. From KB8.GL.
Well, Mike, thank you very, very much for being with us tonight. Yeah, it would be neat to have another session. I'm sort of kidding about all of the acronyms, but, you know, I could make a list instead of having, you know, we on occasion have trivia nets here on South Cars. Maybe we can have an acronym net. pursuant to what we've been discussing tonight. Before we close, do we have any other parting comments from the audience, please? Anything for the good of the order? KY6V.
Whiskey Hotel, Victor.
Romeo X-ray Alpha.
Okay, I have Whiskey Hotel, Victor. And Romeo X-Ray Alpha coming through, O-N-E. Boy, that makes me think a little bit, Chris. WHV, go ahead, sir. Mr. Joseph of Orange City, over.
Good evening, Gordon, and the rest of the people, and Mike there. I don't have too much to say about it. It's very interesting. I've been listening for a little while. I got in here a little late. But it all sounds great. Keep up the good work. I love it, too. It is a great thing. So with that, I'll give it back to y'all. And keep up the good work, like I said. I just wanted to say hello and get in there and say it is really awesome. It is. I think it's neat, too. So with that, we'll turn it back over to you guys.
Hey, thanks, Joe. Nice to have you aboard tonight, and thank you for checking in, sir. He is the assistant mayor of Orange City, as I understand, here, Central Florida at the moment. Joe, thank you. RXA, Mr. Crystal River. Hope the weather on the east side of the state is pleasant, because it normally comes in from you to us. Go ahead, Chris. Over.
Okay, Gordon, it's Weeki Wachee, home of the mermaids, or I'd like to call it Walkie Talkie, or Wishy Washy, either way, you know. Listen, I want to thank everyone for a wonderful net. I've got a friend locally that's listening on the All-Star web transceiver. He's listening to the net via All-Star, and he could actually jump on a radio if he wanted to, but I imagine his kids are probably asleep, and he's probably trying to be quiet. So good evening, Pat. And actually, Pat, is we have an antenna and the coax and everything set up except for the Internet over at Pat's place, and that's where this All-Star box is going to go eventually. My question is, this particular net, this is once a month, I take it, and is it the second Thursday of every month? Gordon, what's an easy way to tell when it's coming on? I know you've got the net schedule there on the website, but you kind of have to really hunt for this. Is there any way to get a reminder as to when the net will be on? Back to you, KB1RXA.
Well, Chris, that's an excellent question, sir. KY6V here. It sometimes vacillates between the second and the third Thursday of the month. We really haven't honed in on making it specifically the second or the third. I apologize if you're having any trouble with our website, but we try to post that there when it's going to happen next month. Over.
Okay, very good. I'll keep a closer eye on the website then. But thank you again, everybody, for a great, great, interesting and informative net. And Mike, thank you for everything you're doing to expand the hobby and everybody involved with that effort. Okay, 73 KB1RXA.
Okay, Mr. Witchy Watchy. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate you coming aboard tonight. Anybody else before we close, please? KY6V. Okay. Thank you, Mike. We certainly appreciate your professionalism, sir. A lot of just great information. I think some of it may have gone over the heads of some of us. And we might entertain another session, maybe session two or three, to sort of parley it out. I'd like you to consider that. We'll do that downstream when your time permits, and we can sandwich it into the schedule. Good night, everybody. This has been South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. We're going to turn the server back to normal use and abuse. I am Gordon, KY6V, our master of ceremonies, and a major host this evening has been Mike, KB8ZGL, and we hope you've all enjoyed. With that, thank you, and have a good night. We'll see you when we see you. KY6V clear.